Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Yo, I'll play what I want, what I really, really want. So play what you want, what you really, really want. I'll play what I want, what I really, really want. So play what you want, what you really, really want. I wanna play the first song of the day.
Jennifer Lynn Lutenberger Jr., what did you come up with? Oh,
I didn't know my mom or grandma were named Jenny Lynn also.
Wow, yeah.
Well, it's Monday, and I just want everyone to have a beautiful, shiny, glorious week and shine bright like diamonds. So I went with Diamonds by Rihanna.
Smooth.
I like it, Jenny Lynn. Nice choice. Here we go. Your first song of the day. It's Rihanna on KDWB, the Twin Cities number one hit music station. Dave Ryan Show on KDWB. Hope you had a good weekend. You can check out our Weekend in 5 photos. One of my weekend highlights. It was kind of weird. I want to ask you guys about this
one. Okay.
So Allison and I went skiing down at Lebanon Hills Park down in Apple Valley. Huge park. Never been there before.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. And it was so crowded. And afterward, we're getting into the car. And I'm taking my boots off. We're in the parking lot. And a woman, about 60, 65, comes up. She's like, excuse me. And I thought she's going to be like, are you Dave Ryan? Because we get that once in a while. And you're like, oh, hey, hi, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. No, she's like, I just saw you and the girl you're with have like the sweetest encounter over here by the parking lot. I'm like, really? She's like, yeah, it was so sweet. Is that your wife? And she said, I said, no, but what was the encounter? She said, well, you were taking her skis off and you offered to help her and she couldn't get her ski off. So you offered to help her get her ski off. And it was just so sweet. And I told my husband, I said, I'll bet they're on their first date
or I'll bet
they're newlyweds. Because you were so sweet to her. And she says, you know, that's just something you do like on a first date or when you're newlyweds. I said, that's my daughter. And she said, well, that makes sense. She says, and you look young enough to be married to her. I'm like, I said, thank you very much. I said, yeah, she's my daughter. She's like 30 years younger than me. Oh, okay.
Okay.
She says, I get that sometimes too, because my husband is so much older than me and he hates it. And I'm like, yeah, that's my daughter. And I thought later, I said, that was really sweet that she thought it was such a sweet little encounter. And that she thought that I was young enough to be Allison's husband, which I told Allison, she was mortified.
I'm sure.
But then I thought later, because I tend to overthink everything, why in the world did she come up to me?
Yeah.
What in the world, why would you come up to somebody like that? Even if I saw you and Jake or a couple of randos at a park and they're being really sweet, like, oh, can I get that for you? Let me get that for you. Oh, I got it. It's okay. I wouldn't be like, oh, my God, gotta go ask him about their relationship.
No.
And I was like, I wonder if she thought that I was like an older guy with my younger girlfriend, and she wanted to dig a little dirt. What do you think? What in the world do you think she was going on?
I think she's like, there are like one in a billion, not really that big of a difference, but of people that are just so outgoing and nice, and they just... it doesn't even cross their mind that it'd be weird. They're just so outgoing and nice. But we aren't like that. Not that we're not nice. It's just that we would never do that.
No, that's exactly what Susan said. She's probably just like really outgoing and talks to everybody anywhere. And I thought that was really kind of a weird personal question. What do you think, Jenny?
I think Zaddy. She was like, that's Zaddy over there. Look at him and his young little hot thing.
Zaddy in the wild.
Yeah.
I would have, when she said that you looked young enough to be Allison's like boyfriend or husband, I would have been like, hold on. And I would have pulled out my voice memo and said, lady, record that.
Record that, please. That was kind of funny. Then it was right around that time yesterday afternoon, around two or three. And at least in Apple Valley, the roads were horrific.
Oh, okay.
And it was slushy, icy, and people didn't know it was that slushy, icy. And we're driving home. There was a car accident. We saw one on Pilot Knob Road. They were going down Pilot Knob Road, and a car crosses the center line.
That's so scary.
Spinning, 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 spinning. He had been flying down this hill, and he was spinning, and he was coming right at us, right into our lane, and out of control spinning, and it just a matter of inches, or he would have hit us. He stopped about 3 feet away from us, and Allison was like, oh, my God, we're going to get hit. Oh, my God.
Who was driving? You were
I was driving,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, good, because, oh, man, if it was me... I don't, have you ever been in an accident like that?
Not one just like that, no.
Knock on wood. When I remember I was driving home from college and it was slick like that, and I'll never forget, I came up like over on an overpass and there was a car sitting there sideways.
Oh.
So I had nothing to do but tee them.
So you did hit them.
And I did at like 55, 65 miles an hour. It was one of the scariest moments of my life.
Oh, that's fast. Are you sure you're going that fast?
Yes, because it was on like an expressway. It was like I wasn't going slow. I was going like a pretty average speed.
They had spun out on the ice?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here comes Bonsett flying down the overpass.
Literally, yeah. I mean, I was good. It was like the last stretch before I got home. So you're like, just get this drive over with.
I think it's one of those things where people don't realize how slippery it is until you do start to spin out. Mm-hmm. Because the guy sat there probably in shock and just like too rattled to drive for at least a minute, because I sat there waiting for him to move out of the way. And he didn't move out of the way. He was still facing backwards in my lane.
That's so scary.
And I thought,
yeah,
he's too rattled to drive. So
he was
I kind of eased around him. And so anyway, hope you got through yesterday's drive yesterday. It was bad. There was a big jackknife semi on 169 that blocked up traffic for a long time. So anyway, here we are. It's warming up. It's going to be 41 today. 41.
Woo. That's nice.
So all the snow you didn't shovel on your driveway or sidewalk will start to melt today. So that'll be kind of nice.
That's a good time to put out some salt, though, to get ready for the next batch of whatever cold we get.
It will happen because, you know, it is, I think March is a week away from today. But if you lived in Minnesota for a while, you know that really winter continues well into April and sometimes May. Dave Ryan Show, KDWB. So your drive-thru worker is listening in on you.
Yeah, I know.
When you go to Starbucks, when you go to Caribou, when you go to Wendy's, as it turns out, when you drive up to the window, they can see you like on a high-def camera. They're looking at you through a high-def camera. So they can see you do anything from flip them off to what you're doing topless in the car, what you're doing like with your hand in the car, whatever. And they can also overhear you. And not just the one that you're talking to, but everybody who's wearing a headset in the restaurant overhears you. So sometimes we're getting confessions courtesy of BuzzFeed from fast food workers that are on the drive-thru speaker. They will delay the order so they can keep hearing the conversation. They'll be like, yeah, we're running a little bit. Can you just wait for a second? So then they let them sit there.
Yes.
1 second, I'll be right with you. So what do they overhear? Oh, don't worry. I got a couple of things that they overhear when they are when you're sitting there talking. First of all, I've heard conversations about abortion. People complaining about a long line, straight up bad mouthing my coworkers. I advise you to put your window back up after you order.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
There is more. Just a heads up, most new Starbucks drive-thrus from 2017 and newer have a camera in them. We can see you picking your nose. I'm in a college town, so I've heard it all. Lots of conversation about sex and drugs. Sometimes I'll leave them waiting so I can hear the rest of the conversation. Oh, we can hear not only your conversation, but if your car is Bluetooth, we can hear the conversation from your phone, too.
Oh, yeah. Someone said, I once heard someone having phone sex on the drive-thru.
That's what it says,
speaker.
Yeah. Kind of My Moose says, I once heard someone having phone sex on the drive-thru speaker. Here's one. Once this regular couple pulled up, a lovely regular couple pulled up, the husband let out a massive belch before I could greet him, so I was kind of giggling. I said, goodness. And the wife was mortified. She said, you heard that? We hear everything. Says Bone Shaker Baby. Every sneeze, cough, mouse fart, everything. Please do not shout at the speaker. Speak normally.
Oh my gosh, that is what I talked to Jake about. He is the quietest person ever, and then he'll be like, "Yeah, can I get?"
I'm like,
"Jake,
you don't need to do that.
You need to yell.
They can hear you fine. Please don't swear at us, because once you turn your we turn our mic off, we sure the hell hear you cussing.
Oh my gosh.
Here's one. I once heard a guy on the phone learn that his wife was pregnant, which was cool. Here's another one. Petronella23 says, one time I heard a lady was on the phone with a girlfriend talking about how she just found out she was pregnant, but didn't know how to tell her husband it was his brother's baby.
Gosh.
My husband had a lady came through one time also on the phone talking about how her recent STI test came back positive, and so she was relieved she was clean. Sometimes it's music, sometimes it's kids screaming what they want, sometimes conversation. I've heard arguments, discussions. I've heard people threaten their families when nobody can decide what to eat. Yeah, I hear you. Hurry up and decide or we're leaving.
That is my family. That is like, what is it? What do you want to drink? What do you want to drink? Or me being like, Jake, just add, no, a number. Oh, that's what it's like.
Here's one that heard a fight. The person in the passenger seat, they started to have a pretty heated argument. We heard some moving and thudding noises, followed by one of them saying, "You want a piece of this?"
Oh, God, too far.
We heard somebody say, "Stay buckled, baby. You'll get a treat if you're good, okay?" What? I thought they were talking to a child. They pulled up to the first window. There was a kitten in the passenger seat trying to climb up on the back. Cute. So they hear it all, just to let you know. Good news is they probably don't know you. But what if they did?
Yeah, but if you're doing something rude or sketchy toward them, you better pull that back.
I mean, I guess. Hopefully they're not going to spit in it for you or anything. All right. So a woman's going through Google Earth, and she found something really interesting on Google Earth. And I got to share this with you. We'll tell you about it in a second on You Can't Make This Stuff Up on KDWB. Also, you heard about that airplane over Denver where the engine blew up.
Mm-hmm.
And on takeoff, they're taking off to Hawaii. And something we've all been through a million times, if you fly a lot, you never expect it. The engine blew up, and somebody sitting by the window got video right afterward. They landed safely. I know you heard about it. It was everywhere this weekend. Everybody was talking about it, and thank God everybody was okay.
Yeah.
Which kind of gives you a little bit of faith about flying, like an engine can blow up, and they can still land safely, which they did. We'll get some more on that coming up on You Can't Make This Stuff Up.
One, two, three, four.
Brought to you by Arthur's Jewelers.
Here's what went down aboard that flight that took off from Denver and the pilot radioing back right after takeoff.
Mayday, mayday, United 328 heavy, mayday, mayday aircraft. Denver departure, United 328 heavy, mayday aircraft. Just experienced engine failure, need a turn immediately.
There's a big boom, the kind of sound you don't want to hear when you're on an airplane. And I instantly put my shade up, and I was pretty frightened to see that the engine on my side was missing.
A wife and I were sitting inside the house. We heard this big bang, and then all of a sudden there was a bang and a crash. This object just rolls right in front of our house, right out the front window, trying to figure out what it is. And as soon as I open the door, I go, uh-oh, it's an engine part.
Yeah, no kidding. It was huge. Did you see it?
I did, yeah.
It was huge. It was like the size of a kiddie pool or bigger,
yeah.
Like a big ring laying on the front lawn. The good news is I'm a pilot, and I know that pilots, if you fly in a multi-engine airplane, even if one of them goes out or two of them go out, they can still like fly on like one engine.
But I'm sure it's still extra terrifying.
Oh, there's no question. And to look out the window, can you imagine the people on the other side of the airplane that couldn't see it trying to get a look?
Oh, no.
Because you want to see. And then, of course, here comes this.
During that time, is there someone on the overhead that's trying to comfort passengers or no? Or it's just getting everyone, like, make sure they're buckled in and calm.
Yeah, the first thing that happens is, the flight attendants will be like, probably calm down, whatever. But the pilots don't get a hold of anybody because their first concern right now is to make the plane safe. So the pilots don't get on and go, hey, we're handling this. They'll maybe 5-10 minutes later, they'll keep you in suspense. Then they'll come on. Then they'll explain. But their first rule is to fly the plane.
Yeah.
So then they might tell the flight attendants, tell them this, whatever. And suspend beverage service.
Okay.
Can you imagine the number of people who were pissed because they didn't get them little pretzels?
First of all,
yeah.
Yes, Dave. I'll hold out buying one of those overpriced snacks at the airport, looking forward to my little cheese it back. And then if I don't get one, the whole flight's ruined.
Oh, I hear you. So anyway, they returned and everything was fine. So it's good to know. That's the thing. There's hardly any, knock on wood, serious airplane crashes in the world anymore. Hardly any.
Yeah.
Because the technology has gotten so good and the training's gotten so good that they just, they're taking, plus they want to take good care of us because they don't want us to die because then they would get sued.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing. So a woman's on Google Maps, and this is kind of her hobby. She likes to cruise around on Google Maps just to see what she can find. So a 50-year-old woman named Jolene, she lives up in Michigan. Her hobby is looking around on Google Earth for unmapped places. She found an island in the Pacific that qualifies because the island is shaped like the male genitalia. Part of the Trinity Islands, which is off the coast of France in an area called New Caledonia. And it's not like she can claim it for her own. She'd probably have to go to war with France over it and win it to claim it. But she says she shared it with her Facebook group of other explorers, and they were all impressed by her discovery and the island's unusual shape. Now, here's a quote. It's a little bit dicey. Remember, she is 50-year-old Jolene.
Okay.
She said, "I'd love to go to travel there and sit on that D word."
Okay.
She said, "No, really." And that was her actual quote. That's her quote. "I'd love to go there. I'd love to go and travel there and sit on the D word."
That's Jenny's future, just so you know. That's Jenny.
Google Earth looking for genitalia shaped islands.
Yes, that's Jenny in her 50s.
I can see Jenny there with a really old laptop that her son had to fix for.
She still has the same one she has now that's already sketchy. Yep.
She got a big pack of Marlboro Reds smoking away.
I can't use it unless it's plugged in at all times.
And her boy's name would be something like Bullet. She would name her boy Bullet.
Yeah, because or Slasher.
Flasher or Bullet.
I said Slasher.
Slasher or Flasher. Hey, Slasher, come over here, fix Mama's laptop, and bring me a handle of Cat Morgan. I'm looking up Dirty Islands. Now, if you want to see Jenny's Dirty Island, or Jolene's Dirty Island, I just tweeted it for you. Twitter, at Dave Ryan KDWB. I want to give you a little heads up on something.
Okay.
I formed a Match 3D team last week. Like on Friday, Match 3D is our new obsession. I've gotten so many people addicted to this one. So many people write and say, thanks a lot. I spend 3 hours a day playing Match 3D. My wife is way worse than I am. I play for maybe 10 minutes a day. She plays for probably an hour or more a day that I know of.
Yeah.
So I formed a team. We won a tournament last night.
Congratulations. You get a trophy?
You get 1,000 free coins.
Okay, that's
nice. Which is a cool little currency in the game. My game filled up. My team is full. So Susan is forming her own team. So when we get her on next hour, she can tell you what the team name is so you can go search for it and join your team. And I know if you don't play Match 3D, you're going, shut up, I don't care. I get that. So we're going to move on to other things that you might care about. And we'll do that on Dave's Dirt coming up in just a few minutes here on KDWB.
Well,
what's coming up on Dave's Dirt?
Kanye thinks he knows the reason that Kim is divorcing him. He has one idea. I don't think he's completely off with his idea. I'll tell you more about the story coming up next in Dave's Dirt.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Here is something to do if you want to keep busy for the next, I don't know, if you're bored later on today. Count the number of F-bombs in Jenny and Tina's podcast this weekend, Too Lame for Radio. Mm-hmm. Jenny and Tina are talking about pretty much everything, trips to Disney, dates, things like that. And I swear the F-bombs were a-flying. First, I thought it was mostly Jenny.
Yeah.
Because Jenny's just uncouth.
Foul mouth.
Yeah. Uncouth. Got a lot of Wisconsin in her.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tina joins in, and Tina comes across as like sweet and innocent and that type of thing.
I've told you for years.
Filthy mouth.
That's in front of you.
Is it an act?
Yeah. The moment the door shuts, you leave, she's like, oh, now that we're alone, B word. And I'm like, God, Tina. She like immediately turns. Jenny's drunk during every podcast.
She sounds like she's drunk. No, she does.
Yeah. She always is. She's either, every time I look over there and they're recording, she's either drinking Fireball shots or she's a spotted cow.
Check out my podcast this weekend. It's kind of a limited series. I'm doing like behind the scenes radio war stories. And there's a guy named Greg Kratchmar who's in Boston, and he's got a million different radio stories, like horror stories, including he was doing a street stunt one time. You know, those wacky things where your guy goes out on the street and tries to like joke with people, kind of like Impractical Jokers kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody brought a gun and nobody knew about it.
No,
and there was gunplay during the street stunt and nobody knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah. So check that out. It's on my podcast. Take a shower, show up on time, and don't steal anything.
Does he have a wicked Boston accent?
No, he's got no Boston accent at all.
That'd be so cool, though, if he did. My podcast this week, by the way, Heartbroken with our night guy, E. White, also an alarming number of F-bombs. My podcast never really has F-bombs, but he cusses a lot. So actually,
very expressive
he's
guy.
He's an expressive guy, so there are more F-bombs in mine than typical as well.
While you're online poking around, make sure you check out our Weekend in Five photos. One of mine is, what kind of hole is this? I found a hole, and I had to find out the story behind the hole.
Yeah.
So then I did. And
a whole investigation it was.
It was. And you can check that out online, along with the most adorable picture of my granddaughter, Ava, who is chewing on something that I didn't know babies chewed on, but apparently they do.
They chew on everything, Dave.
Literally. I'm learning that. Let's do the dirt on KDWB.
It's Dave's Dirt on 101.3 KDWB.
So the movie Titanic came out in 1997, so we're talking 24 years ago. So there's no spoilers involved here. At the end of the movie, the old lady throws the heart of the ocean off the end of the boat. Well, I guess there's a viral video. It's come back again of the alternate ending.
I have it up at DaveRyanShow.com if you want to watch it.
Go check it out, because I never even heard about this before. This one's got Rose, old Rose. Now, remember, she's like 98 years old in this one, taunting Bill Paxton. She's on the boat. She's got the heart of the ocean in her hand, taunting him, and then she throws it into the ocean. I'm going to play it for you first, then I'm going to tell you the story behind it.
Emma, please don't!
Don't come any closer. I'll drop it.
You had it the entire time?
The hardest part about being so poor was being so rich.
Please, think about this for a second.
Oh, I've thought about this for years. And I've come all the way here to put it back where it belongs. You look for treasure in the wrong place, Mr. Lovett. Only life is priceless, and making each day count.
Jesus, no! That really sucks, lady!
I would have dove in after that.
Pretty funny. So I guess they looked at the screening of this and they said it was so bad.
Well, yeah.
That they just couldn't do it.
That really sucks, lady.
Well, that was one of the crew.
I know, but it's still like that line to me, that would have wrecked the whole movie.
It probably would have wrecked the whole movie because at the end, doesn't she just go silently slip it into the ocean? Nobody knows. Nobody ever knows that she had it.
No. That is just hit your head against the wall, though, that she was poor for all those years. To be so poor but be so rich. I would have pawned that thing seconds in. I would have known it's worth millions and been like, I'll take a thousand. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever you can give me.
Remember in the Oops, I Did It Again video where her boyfriend's like, hey, look what I got for you. And she's like, oh, I thought the old lady threw it down in the ocean at the end of the movie. And he's like, yeah, I went down and got it for you. And she's like, oh,
you shouldn't have.
I don't care about it. Speaking of movies, I'm going to throw one out at you because everybody knows you're staying home a whole lot more often. Yeah. And you're not going out like you used to. There's no plays, no sports, no concerts, whatever. So I found one on Netflix and it's called I Care a Lot. Oh, dang, is this a great movie? It is about a woman who's about 40 years old, and you can tell she's a little bit nuts by the way she cuts her hair. She's got the most severe haircut ever, but she basically is like a state-appointed caregiver of old people.
Okay.
So she finds old people with a lot of money, and she gets them thrown into a nursing home, and then she takes all their money. Until things start to go wrong, and she throws the wrong person into a nursing home, then it gets good. And I will tell you, I don't want to say anything more.
Yeah, don't ruin it.
Except it was the best movie I've seen this year.
Oh,
the best
wow.
movie I've seen this year. It's a 2-hour movie. It's not a limited run. Yeah. You don't gotta invest a lot of time. Take 2 hours and watch I Care a Lot.
I looked so
good.
I saw it as the Netflix kind of top movie.
Yep.
Watched the preview. It looked good, but it wasn't in the mood for something suspenseful like that night. But it's the chick from Gone Girl, the blonde woman from the movie Gone. That's the only other place I've seen her is the lead woman.
I can't think of her name right now.
I looked it up.
It's an unusual
Rosamund
name.
Pike, but it's,
okay.
It's not like a commonly known.
But name. Check it out. I'll give it to you one more time. It's called I Care a Lot. And I'd say stay home from work today to play to watch that movie because it's so good.
Oh,
okay, maybe not.
Bad tip.
David Letterman's in trouble because I guess in 1998 he had Jennifer Aniston on the show. So he leans in close, grabs her hair, and puts her hair in his mouth. Let's listen.
Forgive me if this is rude. I just want to try one thing.
Okay,
Anton. I'm sorry.
That's going to be worth a lot of money.
Something to do with the steam room. Now the film's already.
People are off here going.
I know people are horrified by that. We'll take it out in editing. Don't worry.
That's something that I'll never forget.
Well, you scared the hell out of me. Because you're right there. I'm like that. And all of a sudden you scream. See. So how do you think I felt?
I'm sorry.
You ruined it for me. Are you happy?
I'm so sorry.
You're still traumatized by that hair deal, aren't you?
I am. I don't know. I'm sorry. I just described another movie, didn't I?
Well, I hope you'll be able to get over this.
I'm going to try. Somebody carry me home.
It's some kind of 12-step program.
Dave sucked on my hair.
I didn't suck on your hair.
You sucked on my hair.
I didn't suck your hair.
You know what's funny is that everybody in the audience appears to be jovial, like, oh, that was really funny. I'm sure there were a few people that were mortified.
Yeah.
But you would never try something like that today. And if you did, she'd probably storm off, they'd take a hook and pull Letterman off the seat.
There are lots of videos of him doing weird stuff like that.
He was kind of a weird dude. Definitely a weird dude. There was one other thing I wanted to play for you. Let's see if I can find it. It is basically the Muppets. They're putting like the Muppet Show, the old 1970s Muppet Show on Disney Plus. But I guess there's some things in there that are insensitive to other cultures. So they're saying, hey, remember this was shot in 1979. So as you watch this, you're going to find things that are insensitive to other cultures. I don't know specifically what they are, but I thought that was kind of interesting. And finally, Janet Jackson FaceTimed a gymnast. Why? Because the gymnast did a routine to Nasty. Nasty boys.
I don't mean a thing to me.
That was so good, Fallon. Wow, we had to record that. I'll bet it would go viral on TikTok.
Oh, TikTok then.
So here is, she's FaceTiming a gymnast who did a routine to Nasty.
I just want to say thank you. Thank you for sharing your talent. It's so beautiful to see you tumble. Really inspiring. Thank you so much. And it just inspired me to want to do more and do better and be stronger. I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
So much. That means everything to me. Could you
love it?
Are we alone?
Okay, we have a... Are we alone? Stop that. So, hold on one second.
If you're going to call me out, I'm going to...
Where is that coming from? Okay, that's something else altogether. What's going on? Oh, my God. All right, different Fallon, clip. On with the dirt.
Yeah, Kanye West, now, he thinks he knows what the main cause for their divorce was. Kim officially filed for divorce on Friday. We all knew it was coming. They've been together for 6 years, married for 6 years. He thinks it was actually his White House run that did it. Now, if you remember, he did that South Carolina campaign rally where he revealed all of those really personal details about their first pregnancy. He even, like, made her mad saying, you know, my wife might divorce me after this speech. And, yeah, I mean, I guess they said she had asked him multiple times to seek help, get professional treatment for his manic bipolar episode, and he would not. He kept tweeting horrible things about her, allegedly cheating with Meek Mill, mean things about her mom. And they said that he's the one that ended it, technically, but she's the one that filed paperwork. But now they're saying he's having second thoughts. Quote, he's in that place of, if only I'd done this, if only I had done that, which... I don't know. And they're like, people are like, do you think she'll get married again? Because it'd be her fourth husband. And it's like,
of course she will.
Yeah, of course at some point she will, but I don't think she's going to be rushing into it. She's been kind of being a single mom to the four kids for quite some time. I think she'll probably play that out for a while. Officially, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have officially been stripped of their royal titles because they had like a year to kind of figure things out if they wanted to continue on or not. And then after they agreed to do that Oprah episode.
Stripped of the titles?
Yeah, so basically... Wow. All of his like military titles and stuff he's earned, they're gone. They're allowed to keep the Dutch and Duchess of Sussex, but those aren't like their official royal titles.
So he's no longer Prince Harry and whatever she is, princess.
She was never princess, but yeah, she's a duchess. They're allowed to keep those, but yeah, they've been stripped of royal titles, which may even like exclude them from going to, she has her big 70th celebration coming up, so they may not even be a part of that.
Okay. And now, because it's Black History Month, it's the last week of Black History Month, and we have made a pledge on KWB. I've decided that I'm going to do a salute to a black artist every day. Fallon suggested this one. You definitely have heard this song before.
Sitting in the morning sun.
His name is Otis Redding. Born in 1941. Now, he started like a lot of kids did in church, but then he started singing in talent shows on a radio station, and he won $5 prize in the talent show 15 weeks in a row. $5 prize. That sounds like it was owned by iHeartRadio.
Yeah, no kidding. But ours was in a $5 off coupon.
I looked it up. It was worth $88 in today's money, so that's a little bit
to
more.
Do that 15
yeah.
15 weeks in a row? That's like great money then.
No kidding. So he also worked to support his family starting at age 15. He was a well digger, gas station attendant, and worked as a musician. His big break came, he was at a talent contest. And there was a guy in the audience that basically said, he was kind of a star. The guy in the audience said, your band isn't very good. Let me come up there and play guitar for you in the background. The guy did. Somebody who was big saw this. And then that's when Otis Redding got his big break.
That poor band. They're like, oh, man.
So his other big break, this is just cool how people get started. And people go, how do you get started in the music business? This is how Otis Redding got started. He was driving a friend to the recording studio because his friend didn't have a driver's license. So when he was there, they had some extra time. So Otis sang a couple of songs. One was forgettable and one was no big deal. But the other one caught the ear of the owner of the studio, and they signed Otis Redding to a contract.
You know she's waiting. Just anticipating.
If you don't even know Otis Redding, you might know this one because Kanye and Jay-Z used a lot of Otis Redding in like remixes.
Oh, really?
Including this one, yeah.
There's so many things. I'm not going to be able to get to everything because of time, unfortunately. But check this out. This is how big he was to the Beatles. He came to London in 1966 to do a series of concerts. The Beatles sent a limousine to pick up Otis Redding. And there's a whole lot more. He died in a plane crash on the way to Wisconsin, on the way to Madison, Wisconsin, in 1967. And his big song, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, was released after he died.
Wow.
So he died. He was only like 27 or 28 years old. And that is your spotlight artist for today, Otis Redding on KDWB. Coming up, it's time for Weekend X Factor. This is where basically we get our partners on the phone and we find out whether the weekend, our best weekend story, matches what they think. And I also have to bust Susan on something stupid that she said over the weekend. I said, you know I'm going to talk about this on the radio. Oh, don't do that. I'm like, are you kidding? After all the times you busted me, I'll tell you what dumb thing I caught her saying the other day. Coming up in a second here on KWB, we're going to get our spouses, partners on the phone. We're going to see whether their idea of our perfect weekend event is the same one. We call it Spousal Weekend X Factor. But I'm also going to give you a heads up. Two things from Susan, who is full of vim and vigor today. She's full of pee and vinegar, is what my grandma used to say. Did your grandma ever say that? Oh, she's full of pee and vinegar.
She didn't say pee.
I know. She said something else, right? But two things happened this weekend. We'll get to that in a second. First of all, your keyword is a brand new keyword this hour. The keyword is pay. It is the last week to win this contest, so make sure you text in that word pay to 200-200. Shayna won it last week.
Oh, my God. I never thought I would. I texted in all the time, and I'm like, well, what could it hurt, right? Never thought it would happen. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, better odds than pull tabs and doesn't cost as much. All you got to do, I don't know about odds. I haven't checked the odds. Don't check me on that one. But go text that keyword pay on your phone to 200-200. Standard data message rates apply. Nationwide contest. And Shayna did it.
Apparently you can win because I have the worst luck in the world. I never gamble. I never do pull tabs. Nothing.
Okay. If you want to do that, go do that now. We've got Andrew on the phone. This is Jenny's boyfriend, Andrew. And you know what? We noticed a hi, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning, Dave.
We noticed a pattern. You and Jenny almost never match. Now, I have not been keeping track.
I don't keep track, yeah.
Of how many times you've missed in a row. But the smart money is that you're not paying attention. You're being too self-absorbed. You're not paying attention to Jenny's needs. This is not true at all. Andrew's the greatest guy. Andrew's the greatest guy ever.
Are you describing me or him?
Well, here's the funny thing. We like you, Andrew, better than we ever liked Jenny.
I'll agree.
I deal with it every day, too. They're like, oh, you're here today? We thought maybe Andrew would be coming in instead.
That'd be so fun to have like a partner swap day, but just you swap.
Yeah, bye, Jenny.
Just kidding.
Andrew, somebody asked, they said, what does Andrew do for a living? I said, I think you're a realtor, right?
Yep.
Okay. There's another story. Jenny was looking for a house this weekend, like a condo townhome this weekend. Condo, Can you tell?
Yeah, we started looking at condos for her.
So just for Jenny, but not for you as a couple, because you're not there yet. But you didn't have the best experience with some of the condos you looked at.
No, the first couple were right off main roads. You could hear every traffic, like car going past, and then you heard airplanes. You just could hear everything. And then the ones we were really excited to see, because the pictures look super awesome, and they were like reasonably priced. It was in like an old business building, and I told Andrew it felt like I was about to get cornered by a coworker in the kitchen. Like, that's what the kitchen vibe gave off. Yeah. I was like, this is not homey. I don't know what you would do to it to make it homey.
It's like an old office?
Yeah, so there was just windows everywhere, which seems really cool in the grand scheme of things, but it looked out at industrial buildings.
Okay.
So it just was like, I feel like I'm in an office building, and this is not homey to me.
No,
so.
I totally get that. You want to see a park or something, not the trash-burning power plant.
Just need a Keurig, and it'll feel homey. That's all it takes.
A Keurig, that's it?
Yeah, that's fancier than what we have here in our coffee.
That's true.
Andrew is, Jenny has, you guys spent a lot of the weekend together. What were some of the things you did this weekend, Andrew?
So, Netflix night on Friday, looked at condo Saturday. Yesterday, I ditched her to go to Athens.
He did.
Okay, gotcha. What would you say, Jenny has written down the highlight, good luck. What would you say was Jenny's best part of the weekend?
I'm going to say looking for condos on Saturday.
No. Jenny, hold it up. It says.
No, it is the pancakes he made me while I was still sleeping Saturday morning and brought them to me in bed. They were delicious. They look a little funky. There's a picture of them on my blog, but they were delightful, and it was very kind of him to do that because I don't do nice things like that for him.
Andrew, did you deliver them in just an apron and nothing else? This is my dream that I want someone to do, and no one will do it.
Something similar, yeah.
He likes to do sexy strip teases. Like, he made me a margarita on Saturday night, and before he brought it over, he whips his shirt off in the kitchen. And then I was like, oh, like, can you go get me a straw? And then he came back fully nude with the straw.
That's why we love you, Andrew. You still haven't matched. There's another. We're going to start counting consecutive weeks without a match here and see how it goes. Yeah. Andrew, have a great day.
4 out of 5.
You know what? Good luck. You can't get any worse. Okay. Say goodbye, Jenny.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I think Jake is up next. And hi, Jake.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
How was your weekend, Jake? Have a good weekend.
We had a pretty standard weekend for us where Fallon picks all the stuff that we do, and I'm along for the ride.
Can I ask a question? Do you ever get Fallon to do the things that you want to do? For example, Fallon will be like, we're going to go to this restaurant, we're going to go to this show, we're going to see this, we're going to watch this on Netflix. Do you ever say, we're going to go rock climbing, we're going to go hiking, we're going to go to the dog park? Do you ever get to vote?
We watched some Netflix as well on Friday, and I put in a hard vote for this show that I think looks super cool, and I cannot even tell you how hard I got shut down on that. I made a joke about it yesterday because I was like picking out putting on a show for background noise, and she wanted like something else. I was like, you know what? This doesn't even matter. Just put it on. I'm chasing all around. You're shopping for lights on Amazon or whatever you're doing online. Like, who cares?
What was the show that you wanted to watch, Jacob?
I think it was called. It
was about computer stuff. And I said, no, yeah, I'm not watching a show about computer wars.
You got to engage in his passions once in a while. It can't be all you. It's got to be some of his passions.
I do. I found him a saw on Facebook Marketplace. And when he says, I'm going to go to the garage and saw stuff, I say, okay, bye.
Do you ever go out to the garage and go, oh, that's so good. Look at that. You're doing really well on that one. Can I bring you some hot chocolate?
It's dangerous. It is not dangerous. There is sawdust everywhere. And I have fine LASIK procedure under my eyes. I'm not going to wreck them with sawdust flying in there.
You are beyond ridiculous.
Thank you.
Go out and praise his work once in a while. It's kind of like when I was in the show Oklahoma. Susan never asked how rehearsal went. You could tear. She didn't give a S about me being in Oklahoma.
I did notice you had some boards glued together and they were held together with clamps. I'm going to be honest, they looked a little off center. Okay, and I was worried about that.
That's not how it goes.
Okay.
Okay. What would you say, Fallon wrote down the highlight of her weekend. What would you say was the highlight of her weekend?
I'm going to guess the photos we had done of Olive yesterday because she was like hamming it up like we've never seen before.
Fallon says?
Olive's photos.
That is exactly right.
She is our child. She is a born performer. We're very excited for her.
It's great when they do that. Allison was the same way. Yeah. A camera would be lifted up and she'd all of a sudden be a little charmer. Yeah. So cute. Say goodbye to Jake.
Bye, Jake. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Goodbye. Yesterday. Oh, hi, by the way, Susan. Do you remember when I was in Oklahoma, or did you forget about that?
Oh, no. You remind me quite often.
Yeah. I was going to say, how could you forget? He reminds you
all the
time.
One of the highlights of my life. So we went cross-country skiing. We went down to Allison's house yesterday. And when I got back, Susan was there with Ava. Yeah. Ava's a year. She's 6 months old. And she was upstairs napping. Apparently came tromping in too loud. And Susan says, good God, you're like a bowling ball in a china shop. And I was like, and Justin laughed too. I said, a what? A bowling ball in a china shop. I said, you realize it's not bowling ball in a china shop. And Justin, Allison's husband, is over there trying not to laugh too hard. It's a bowl in a china shop.
It doesn't work.
No.
It would be destructive if you rolled a bowling ball in a china shop, exactly. Dave.
Don't even encourage this dumbness. It is a bowl.
Actually, like her phrase, better than the original. Because what's a bowl doing in a
china
shop?
What's a bowling ball doing in a china shop?
It's an antique shop.
Are you saying bowl or bowl?
A bowl. What's a bowl in a china shop would be perfectly placed in a china shop. You are making me crazy. You are making me crazy. All right. So, and then the other thing is you forming your own Match 3D team, because I'm going to make this really quick. If you play Match 3D, you couldn't get on my team because it filled up. But Susan started her own Match 3D team. What's your team's name?
Make Suze Famous.
How do you spell it?
MakeSusFamous.
Okay, it'll fill up really quick. So if you play Match 3D and you want to be on Susan's team, and there's like a limit of 50. Highlight of my weekend. I wrote it down. What would you say was the highlight of my weekend?
Watching Netflix Dirty Harry in the tub and drinking wine with me.
Dirty Harry? You mean Dirty John?
I mean Dirty John.
No.
You watch Dirty Harry in the bathtub?
No, she's what like, is what I said. She's so ridiculous.
I missed that photo on your weekend pics watching Dirty Harry in the bathtub.
We didn't watch Dirty Harry in the bathtub. My highlight was going cross-country skiing with Allison. Had really nothing to do with you.
Now I can't get the image out of my head of you watching Nobody Dirty, Harry in, the Dirty Harry in the bathtub.
We're running late. We got to take a break.
You love Clint Eastwood. God, he gets you going.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, Dirty Harry.
We'll be right back on KDWB. We've got, check this out, Billie Eilish has got her documentary. We've got the documentary code to get a little advanced screening on that. Hang on, we'll give one of those away coming up in a few minutes on KDWB. Check this out, it's actually really cool, and we are privileged to have a little code when it comes out to see Billie Eilish, The World's a Little Blurry. It comes out February 26th, which is this Friday, and I got the code for you right now. It tells the true coming-of-age story of the singer-songwriter and her rise to global superstardom. Watch on Apple TV Plus on February 26th. It's called Billie Eilish, The World's a Little Blurry. I remember a couple of years ago, I remember the first time, she was sitting in the front row at an award show, and I'm like, who's the girl with the green hair? And they kept putting the camera on her, and we're all like, Billie Eilish? I remember thinking, that's a cool name.
Yeah.
But I had no idea who she was. Now everybody knows who she was. So if you want to watch the documentary about her, I can get it for you. I don't know how much it costs normally, but if you got Apple TV Plus, it's part of it.
Yeah.
But if you're the 10th caller, and don't call unless you really want to win it. Because I'd really like to get this to somebody who really wants to see this. I'd really like to see it. Somebody probably like Carson. I don't know. He's a musician, he might like to see it. Anyway, I'd love to give somebody who wants to win it. Call me. Caller number 10-651-989-KDWB. Jenny, before we get Grandma TikTok, I'm going to call her Grandma TikTok.
Okay.
Before we get her on the phone, do we have audio of her video of her TikTok up online anywhere?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I know we have isn't the video online?
Yeah, it's at DaveBryanShow.com.
Oh, the video's online.
There's not really online a ton of audio to it.
Okay. And her email is all in the show sheet over here, because we got to let an email from somebody who said, okay, I want to share this story with you, and I don't really know what to do with my sudden TikTok fame. She says, I'm right with a crazy story. First of all, I'm around Dave's age. I won't say old, but I am a grandma, and you probably also noticed that I still use Hotmail.
I love it.
Not that my age matters, but I think that makes this story even more unbelievable. So let's get her on the phone right now and hear her story from Christine. Hi, Christine. Christine, and she's no longer there.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure if we lost her, but I'll keep reading.
I'll grab her. Hold on.
Every Christmas, I get a puzzle, and we do it as a family, just an old tradition. This year, after my son finished it, I said, we should do a TikTok where I destroy it. No, he said that. He said, we should do a TikTok where I destroy it. I thought, well, that sounds fun. So with one take, he filmed me on my TikTok app where he comes in the room, sees that I'm all done with the puzzle. Then he flings it off the table. It hits the wall and goes into a million pieces. Not really. She said it was only a 400-piece puzzle.
Yeah, but then the best part of the video is then it zooms. He does such a great job. It couldn't have been a better swipe of the puzzle. It's like a complete destruction. One swipe, and it destroys against a wall. Then the camera goes to her, and she has the most shocked look, like she cannot believe. Like, fantastic acting, honestly.
Really, it was?
Yeah.
So they knew it was going to happen, but even though it was staged, like so many TikTok videos are.
Oh, they are, yeah.
This is the worst acting in the world on nearly all TikTok videos.
Yeah.
But I guess this one was really good. She's back on the phone right now. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
So congratulations on going viral. Tell me the story about how you do the video. You think that maybe you'll get a couple of likes and maybe a couple of, you know, whatever. Tell me what happened.
Oh, exactly. I mean, we just thought it would be fun, you know, something to do. My son was the one that thought of it. He said, you know, what do we do with the puzzle once you're done with it, you know, And he said, let's just do this as a TikTok video. It'd be fun. And posted it and sent it to my daughter and she said, oh, this is going to go viral, Mom. This is great. And I thought, you know, whatever. And we posted it. And then a few hours later, I checked again and it had like, I don't know how many views. It just blew up. It was crazy.
How many does it have now?
I want to say like,
I don't know, million views or something?
No, it has like 16.2 million views.
Oh my gosh.
You're so funny. You know what? Christine, you're so funny. You're like me on TikTok. It's like, how many has it got? I don't know, a million or so? No, 16.2
yeah.
million views. I purposely am not watching it because here's what happens when a DJ watches a video on the radio. Oh, wow. Oh. Oh,
right.
Oh, wow.
The good news is it's super quick.
So that's why I want to have Fallon describe it to us. So if you can't see it right now, we can have her describe it.
Yeah. So basically, it shows Christine very happy, like, oh, look, I finished the puzzle. And then you don't see her son. You just see the camera, like, he's walking in. And it's like this beautiful Lisa Frank looking one with like all the bright colored animals. And then he just swipes it off the table. It hits the wall, falls into all the pieces, and the camera goes back to her, and she's doing like, she's like the Kevin McAllister from Home Alone, jaw drop shot.
You know, that's so funny that, and you got it obviously in one take, and if you didn't do it right in one take, you would not have done it again. So her question was, what do you, and you're wondering like anybody would, what do you do with your sudden TikTok fame? You're like, that's your question. What do you do, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have like, I don't know, 30 some thousand followers or something, and it's like, I think they want me to do something else. And
I think you had to do other things. This is my idea now, because I come up with ideas and then other people use them to their benefit. Let me try one on you.
Yeah.
Have it a series of you make something beautiful, like a beautiful salad. Your son comes in, whips it across the room.
Yeah.
Here's one, a beautiful sandwich, like a multi-layer sandwich, beautiful, with an olive on a toothpick on the top.
Or you just finish and put the last piece of like a model boat into a bottle, and he takes the bottle and slams it against a wall.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I like it.
Okay.
I like
so, and then other thing, I mean, as simple as that, maybe you make a beautiful flower arrangement, and you're putting the last rose in. He comes in, grabs it, flings it against the wall.
Yeah.
Just some ideas. Right, like, oh, or a cake, a beautiful cake. You're decorating a cake or a cupcake. And then he comes in, that's your theme.
A lot of cleanup.
You're welcome.
A lot of cleanup.
This is what I do. I come up with other ideas for other people. They do them, and then they get famous off of my idea. This is what happens. You're welcome to it.
Oh, well, thank you.
Because you got to do something.
You can't. Famous, but it's just funny.
You can't do nothing, right?
Yeah, it's hard to top it. Once you get one viral, you reach for that gold over and over again, and it's hard to get to that level again.
I think that happened with Weather Girl Jenny. She had something go really like viral. Not viral like Grandma Christine, but pretty viral. And Jenny's like, oh, man, everything I do, I'm going to be a TikTok star. Next one got 3 likes.
Yeah, that's true. I only got like 3 million views, not quite as much as Christine
did. 3 million, that's legit.
Yeah, and it was like the most ridiculous TikTok. It was a decorate your own ice cream cake that I put together. And we basically played tic-tac-toe on it and then just threw a bunch of sprinkles all over it. That was it. And it went viral.
Yeah, I tried one, Grandma Christine, where I don't know if you remember the Fleetwood Mac guy that was drinking the cranberry juice on a skateboard. I got on a skateboard, did a selfie of me drinking bleach, and I thought I was watching the views go up, 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 up. It's like 15, we're at 18, we're at 22, Allison, we're going to go viral. It stopped at about 40.
Yeah, well, you tried.
Christine, you listened to the Dave Ryan Show, so you thought of us, right?
I did. I just thought you'd mention it on your podcast or something. I didn't think it would be on the radio.
You know what you're going to be? Next thing you know, you're going to be on Fox 9.
Yep.
Fox 9 is going to call you up. You're going to be on The Buzz. You're going to be
something
on
like
Twin Cities Live. It's going to go crazy, Christine. Get an agent.
Yeah.
Get an agent.
Right, sounds good.
You can see the video, though. It's at DaveRyanShow.com.
Thank you, Christine. You are delightful.
Here.
I want to see it. I want to go see the video now because I purposely not watched
it's
it, so
good.
I wouldn't know what it looked like already. We'll be back in a couple of seconds. Everything from a brand new feature called Monster-in-Law Monday. This is where you tell us about your awful, horrible monster-in-law stories.
It can be your old monster-in-law, too, because someone asked, can we do about my ex-monster-in-law? Yes, you can.
Of course.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Audio from a passenger on that flight that the engine blew when it took off from Denver. This is like a quick little blurb.
Fortunately, the plane didn't make much of an adjustment to it. It kind of flew through it, and I kind of felt like that was a good sign. Even though losing one of your engines, it was clear that engine was gone.
Just to know, I mean, I'm not, whenever something comes up and you don't know, as a pilot, I don't fly airplanes that have more than one engine. Mine's just a little engine on the front. But yeah, if you have an engine on both sides, each wing or two on each wing, they train all the time for the worst case scenario, an engine out on takeoff. And they're ready for it and they're prepared for it and they jump into action. And so it blew like a few minutes after takeoff. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad they were closed at Denver Airport when it happened, because yeah, you need a long runway to land an airplane like that. If it had happened over the mountains in Colorado, they could have been a long way from an airplane, from an airport where they could have landed, because there's not a lot of big enough airports in the mountains in Colorado, because they're going to Hawaii. So they were headed over the west.
Gotcha.
And plus, the airplane was full of fuel. Imagine, it was full of fuel for it to get all the way to Hawaii nonstop.
Right.
So they needed a really long runway because the plane is super heavy with fuel, because fuel weighs a lot. So they needed, so they lucked out in so many ways, but a lot of it wasn't even luck in a way.
Yeah.
It was training.
Right.
So
thankfully,
whenever something like that happens, you know, we try to get somebody on who's like an eyewitness or was on the plane or whatever. Yeah. And so Jenny called somebody or got a hold of somebody, because I said, hey, see if we can find somebody who will talk to us about this. And of course, every media outlet in the world, from CNN to BuzzFeed, is trying to get somebody on to, you know, to be their exclusive.
Yep.
We didn't have much luck.
No, we didn't. I tweeted at a few people and I did have one person reach out to me, and he said his cousin was on the plane, but his cousin was only 9. And I was like, well, was he with anyone else? And he was like, well, his stepmom. I was like, would you mind asking her? And she responded saying, like, it's too soon to talk about it. And I totally get it. That was probably such a traumatic experience for those people. So
especially having your 9-year-old kid on there, that would be, I can't even, I would.
No.
I don't know. That'd be hard for me to ever talk about, probably.
In other quick dirt, there was a movie that I saw this weekend recommend. It was called I Care a Lot. It was on the Netflix, like the top of the screen that gives you the previews of what you might like. Probably the best movie. I will say the best movie I've seen this year. No question. It's called I Care a Lot, and I can't even talk about it, because if I do, then it gives away a little bit too much. But it's basically, it's about a caregiver who basically assigns herself to take care of rich senior citizens, puts them in a nursing home, and then steals all their money until she does it to the wrong person.
Good.
And then it gets good. It's called I Care a Lot. By the way, one more thing. My wife, Susan, has her own Match 3D team now. So if you're playing the game, you have to search for Make Susan Famous. If you search for Make Susan Famous, tap on the three heads on the game. There's three heads at the bottom right. Tap on that, then tap search. Search Make Susan Famous, because it's almost full already.
Okay, gotcha. Right. Nick Jonas, he's nixed Jonas Brothers album. He's going back out on a solo career. He's done that before. He's going to guest host on SNL and perform a new song called Spaceman. But they're saying that, you know, it's not a big deal. Joe Jonas, he's filming a movie in Georgia right now. So, and then poor Kevin is just at home still.
Aww.
It happens every time. Joe and Nick are fine, and Kevin's got, he needs the Jonas Brothers, you know?
He needs the brothers needs to the be brothers. Complete. No, I get it.
He does. So Justin Timberlake is, they're bringing back other bad interviews and things with him. They're saying his, like, whole thing, his whole apology to Janet and Brittany, too little, too late. This is, like, a interview, I guess, he did with journalist Ernest Owens. This was a 2016 chat, so not, like, 2002. That started when he threw shade at Justin for appropriating black music and asking him to apologize to Janet.
Who did? I missed that part.
A journalist named Ernest Owens.
Okay.
Justin quickly clapped back, "Oh, you sweet soul. The more you realize we're the same, the more we can have a conversation. Bye." So people are like, okay, they've come to you multiple times saying, hey, here's your chance to apologize to Janet Jackson. But now that he's getting all of this, you know, after the Britney Spears documentary, everyone's like, oh yeah, you were horrible to Britney, but remember Janet, what you did to her? And then he puts that notes typed out apology on his Instagram, and people are like, that isn't going to be enough, Justin, because we've tried to give you opportunities in the past and you just don't accept it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is crazy. Okay, coming up on KDWB, I got a couple of things. We're trying something brand new. It's called Monster-in-Law Monday, because we do Worst Date Wednesday. Worst Date Wednesday, we love it. It's probably my favorite part of the week, right up there with War of the Roses. But Monster-in-Law Monday is basically you tell us your stories about your mother-in-law, and we'll take father-in-laws, too. The cliche is mother-in-laws, mm-hmm. but we're not going to be sexist about it. We're going to leave it up to any awful in-laws.
Yeah.
But we call it Monster-in-Law Monday. And we're going to start it off with a card that somebody got from their mother-in-law for Christmas. Mm-hmm. That's like, oh, so you'll listen to the stories. We'll read some emails because a lot of people don't want to be on because if their mother-in-law listens and they don't want to start something family, I get it. Worst Date Wednesday is different because you'll never see the guy again.
Exactly.
We'll do it next on KWB. Let's try it out. We've never done it before. All right, something we've never tried before. It is Monster-in-Law Monday on KWB. Basically, you tell us your funny, like infuriating, awful stories about your mother-in-law. And again, because we don't want to be sexist, I know the cliche is monster-in-law, but sometimes the father-in-law is kind of a pain in the ass, too.
It's true.
So you tell us whatever story you want to. Do you want to start off with the one that inspired the whole thing?
It did, yeah. I saw, this person called him a toxic mother-in-law. So around Christmas, she received a Christmas card from her mother-in-law. On the inside, it says, Merry Christmas. And then it says, Received. And now the mother-in-law has handwritten things she has given to the kids over the year. So received a big blanket, $112.40 for the Xfinity bill paid.
And 40 cents.
I can't tell if this is $580.49 on electric bill, but I think it was. Yes. So $697.29 total is your Christmas gift. Merry Christmas. And the woman said, look, I agree. Like, you don't need to give us a gift. You've helped us so much. But the fact that you had to write it out in the card like that to make us feel bad, mm-hmm. as if we don't already know you helped us this year, is just so toxic.
Toxic, petty, a little bit rude.
So I saw that actually, like a video on TikTok, and I was like, oh, that. And then someone said, after we did Worst Date Wednesday, you guys should do Monster-in-Law Monday. I'm like, oh, I bet we can. And I posted it on Facebook, and within minutes, we had multiple emails.
Minutes. So let's get started with first ever Monster-in-Law Monday on KDWB. No names.
No.
Although this one says you can say my name, but I'm going to make it a policy. No names on Monster-in-Law Monday ever. January 2020, my husband and I drove up to Fargo to meet up with his parents, sister, and her husband and baby. Now, to preface this story, my husband doesn't like his mother, and neither do I. We had our own room, but the in-laws all shared a two-bedroom suite. We were all in the suite. My mother-in-law was talking about something. I mispronounced a word. She said disbehavior. Oh, my mother-in-law, she mispronounced a word. She said disbehavior rather than misbehavior, and I corrected her. She snapped. She said, not everybody can be perfect like you. I looked at my husband, and his sister quietly says, oh, God. Like, here comes the drama. My husband snaps back and says, that's right, there is misbehavior. Needless to say, the rest of the get-together was awkward. My mother-in-law brought us all matching PJs and wanted to get a family photo for next Christmas card. My husband didn't smile and maybe even looked annoyed during the shoot. Christmas 2020 rolls around. We didn't get a card with a photo on it. Ha. Haven't seen them since. Wow. That's one of those things where the husband threw a barb back.
Yeah.
Now the mother-in-law's got something to be mad at for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. He ruined our picture. He ruined our picture just because what's-her-face had to clap back at me and mispronounce whatever. So I don't know.
This one surprised me when I read it. Like, if you ever planned a wedding, this would just boil your blood. In 2006, when my husband and I sent out our wedding invites, my mother-in-law called her neighbors to ask for their invite so she could send those to people outside the state. She knew they wouldn't come to the wedding, but wanted them to receive an invite. She drives me crazy to this day. I'm jealous of women who can hang out and do things with their mother-in-law. At least she raised an awesome son. Can you imagine?
Isn't that true? You know, it's so funny. I talk to friends of mine who don't get along with their mother at all or don't get along with their father or sister at all. And I'm like, man, I feel bad for you. Because I got along with my mom and dad really well. But there's some people that can't stand them. All right, next
thank
one.
God I have a good mother-in-law.
Monster-in-law Monday. Here we go. On our wedding day, my mother-in-law was bossing everyone around and just being a total whack job. What really got to me is when she yelled at my oldest sister for not being ready on time for pictures. But it was because she was a makeup artist and did all my makeup and did all my bridesmaids' makeup for free. She also would not stop taking pictures with her flash on at the same time as our professional photographers, so it was ruining all the photos. They asked her to stop. She called them B-words.
Oh, my gosh.
I was mortified. Please keep me anonymous if you use this. Remember our policy on Monster in Law Monday? No names ever.
My mother-in-law quit speaking to me 10 years ago because my husband and I wouldn't drop everything and attend her fourth wedding. Mind you, this was after going through a childhood cancer journey with my 10-year-old son, the death of my mother, only a few short months after the death of her third husband, and it wasn't even my choice. It was also short notice, told us in July she was getting married in August. Husband said we weren't dropping everything and going, but she thinks it was me. We are cut out of her new will.
Whoa.
She's petty, but has missed out on lots of her grandkids' lives, and they are awesome. That's what sucks about it, that you would choose to miss out on your grandkids' lives because you're that upset.
Well, not only that, the grandkids won't have any good memories of you either. Mm-hmm. So, hey, we got more of these. It's Monster in Law Monday, and
you
here we go.
You can call with one, too, if you have one.
Yeah, sure, call with one if you got one. 651-989-KDWB. My relationship with my mother-in-law started out pretty rocky. One time, while sitting down with the monster, I was quietly listening to her rant about the expectation she had for my son's future spouse. She said to my face, "I always thought he was going to wind up with a cute, young, pretty thing, but instead we have you." Insert all the eye rolls. "I'm no model, but I'm cute, I'm intelligent, and I happen to be 10 years younger than my husband."
Oh my gosh.
Seriously, though. Then later that year, while driving in the car with the monster, she quickly turns to me and says, "I just love people like you." Well, I lit up and I said, "Well, what do you mean?" She said, "People like you that don't care about their weight."
Oh, God.
Wow. There really are no words. She's just a horrible human.
No kidding. We do have a sister-in-law one, if we want to do sister-in-law.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Anything like that, sure.
She has a daughter from a previous relationship. This happened before she married my brother. My sister sadly had a miscarriage. My mother posted on Facebook referencing the tragedy and posted several emojis. Angel, boy, boy, girl, heart. Now, I have two children, a boy and a girl, and my sister had one boy. So the emojis refer to my children and my sister's. Well, she lost her mind on my brother about how my mom didn't include her daughter in the emojis. They were not married at the time, and my mom never treated her daughter as anything other than a grandchild. Three weeks later, we have a family gathering. She did not show up. Turns out she was still salty about her daughter not being included in some freaking emojis.
Wow.
She managed to make a family tragedy about her. I let my brother know he needed to run fast. Sadly, he did not heed my advice.
Okay, let's go to the phones. These are live with Christina. We got over in New Richmond. It is Monster-in-Law Monday. So far, I think it's going pretty well, Christina. And I'll also give you a chance to vent a little bit. Now, we do have a no-name policy,
yeah.
So that was my mistake right there. So from now on, no names. Everybody's going to be called, how about Lily? Everybody's Lily.
Okay, until Lily calls, and then she's like, oh, God.
Okay, Lily, what's your story? What happened?
I don't know where to start. First of all, she kicked her own son out of his childhood house, let his ex stay there, let her move her new boyfriend in, has wished that or threatened to kick my you-know-what when I was 7 months pregnant.
Oh.
I have it even on video. She hasn't met our six-year-old son. We all had the displeasure of living together. Didn't even come upstairs and wish her own son, or her own, excuse me, own grandson, happy birthday, who's actually even on the spectrum. It hung up a picture of his ex in her kitchen downstairs, so every time we went down there, we had to see it.
That is beyond awful. That is, just to take the trouble to hang up a picture of your ex, to not like you and to like your ex is one thing, but to take it that far, that's awful. You don't live with her anymore, do you?
Oh, my God, no. She hasn't even met, my kid's 6 years old. I haven't talked to her for 6 years.
Wow.
Hasn't even met him.
And you're better off without her.
Oh, yeah, but the crazy thing is, he has other kids, and she sees them and is, the best grandma in the world.
Wow.
to his other kids, but mine, they don't either.
Better off without her. Hey, yeah, thanks for calling. Okay, Lily from South St. Paul. Lily, I know your name's not really Lily, but everybody's Lily on this bit. Oh. What's your story?
So I had a son in July, and when he was about 4 weeks old, my mother-in-law came to visit from Vegas. And one of the nights that she was there, we told her, yeah, he can sleep in the room with you, you can, whatever, you want to get to know him, that's fine. But when we woke up in the morning, well, I had woken up a little bit earlier. I went to the bathroom. I heard that everybody was awake, but I wanted my boyfriend to wake up first. And then a half hour later, by the time we went out to the living room, nobody was home. Nobody was there. So I'm like, well, where's my baby? What the heck? He's 4 weeks old.
Where was he?
He was at his great-grandpa's house. That's where we found out he was. But she didn't tell anybody. She didn't text us. She didn't ask us.
Just took the baby and left? Did she even put the baby in a car seat?
Yeah, she put the baby in the car seat, but the worst part is when I was in the bathroom, when I woke up to go to the bathroom, she had snuck in our room where my boyfriend was sleeping to get diapers.
Oh, no. Yeah, you can't take someone's baby and just, like, drive off with
them, especially
at 4 weeks old. I would have been like, mm-mm, with my mom.
She's probably like, I'm grandma. I'll do whatever I want to.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Okay, we're doing Monster-in-Law Monday, and we got Lily in Blaine. Hi, Lily.
Hello.
Tell me your story.
So, first off, Fallon, thank you for using my bit. I'm the one that texted this in.
Yay!
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for doing it.
So, hold my teeth. Anyways, so my mother-in-law is the absolute worst. I was married to my husband, Fresh, and we were just looking at some, like, baby clothes because I had a baby nephew during the time, and she literally dropped what she was doing, ran over, and she's like, no. Put that stuff down. This is not a part of a 5-year plan. And I'm like,
5-year plan?
Yeah, I was like confused. I'm like, what are you talking about? No, this isn't a part of my 5-year plan. You guys can't have a baby within the 5 years of being married.
Why?
I don't know. I looked at my husband. I said, you gotta be kidding. Is this serious? Is this really happening? And I was in shock, and she literally had us put our stuff down and had us walk away.
How? And so you're not married to this guy anymore?
No, we're still married. I haven't been a part of any of the family stuff, and this is my own doing for over a year now.
Wow. Why does she not? Yeah. Does she not like you, or is she that selfish that it's got to be about her?
I think it's pretty much being selfish.
Isn't it crazy? There are some people like that that just don't realize that the world is not all about them. Last one, and I think it's gone well. It's called Monster-in-Law Monday. Lily down in Chaska. Hi, Lily. What do you got? No, I know your name's not really Lily, but everybody's going by Lily. Yeah. So you're down in Chaska. Got it? Okay, ready? Go ahead.
So my mother-in-law is like super passive aggressive. And so the first year that we were together, like, actually married together, on our wedding anniversary, she sent us a card saying, congratulations, you guys actually made it a year.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Like, you're just laughing. Like, I don't know what else to do other than laugh at this.
Yeah, and, like, it's, like, more little things like that. And, like, for our first year married with Christmas, she ended up putting wedding photos of ours in used frames that had pictures of his ex-girlfriend behind them.
Oh, God. Okay, that is evil. Can I tell you, you know what you make me think of, Lily, down in Chaska? If you have a great mother-in-law, send her a quick little text.
No kidding.
Just send her a quick little text and say, hey, I heard this bit on KWB about bad mother-in-laws, and I just appreciate you so much. That'll make her day.
Shout out Linda. Great mother-in-law. Love ya.
Jake's mom?
Yep.
Okay, good to know. So you're not still fighting about the money that you were fighting about?
Whatever. I'm not even falling into that joke. Not even falling into your trick.
Thanks for all those. Send us an email if you want to be on next week's Monster-in-Law Monday to ryanshow@kdwb.com. And thanks for all the emails. Send it to ryanshow@kdwb.com. Jimmy Two Times on KDWB. He's our DJ. He's our house DJ. Jimmy Two Times. Jimmy Two. The number two. Times on Twitter if you want to book him for, I'm going to say, a mask burning party. Mm-hmm. This is my idea. Yeah. I think they're going to blow up all over the place. And I said we should do a mask burning party once we don't have to wear masks anymore.
Yeah.
Immediately met with protests from management. Wow, we're never going to get a permit to do something like that. I said, who needs a permit? We'll go over to Rich's house. We'll burn him in the backyard while we can't have listeners on Rich's property for liability. I said, Rich won't know.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with you?
Anyway, DJ Jimmy Two Times. Find him on Twitter. Jimmy, the number two times.
I want to give a shout out to him because if he thinks I didn't notice that Mrs. Doubtfire drop in there, oh, I did. Absolutely. Hello.
This is my favorite one.
Respect. Yep.
My
so good.
Favorite one so far on the Monday morning dance party. Randomly, here is a tweet that somebody tweeted at me. Nathan Peterman, GOAT. It says, Dave, I had a dream this weekend about an interesting radio bit. It's called bathtubbing.
I hate it already.
a group would take a bathtub up to the roof, and when people are walking by, they push the tub off the roof and let it fall on the sidewalk. Once it crashes, somebody would shout, you've been bathtubbed. Don't blame me. It was a dream, but feel free to test it out.
No way.
Oh, my God. You've been bathtubbed.
Maybe the worst idea of all time. I know it's a dream. People
that made me LOL.
Murdered in that. That's not safe. You've
been bathtubbed.
God.
Here is somebody who grew up watching Nick. You've been slimed? Is it? No. That was Ghostbusters, you've been slimed. What was on Nick? They would slime people on Nick, too, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they did. You get slimed.
Thanks for sending that to us. All right, it's KWB and tap time for Change Jar Trivia on KWB. We got $2.50 in the Change Jar, $2.50 in the Change Jar. All you got to do is answer three of your five questions right. Call to play, and you can win at 651-989-KDWB. But in the meantime, we're all going to warm up a little round here to see how we do while we wait for a caller. Here comes question one.
Question one.
What Canadian organized the first all-female Lilith Fair tour?
Gwyneth Paltrow. Lillian Vernon. God, who is it? I don't know. It's Lillian Vernon.
Yep, good job.
Who is it?
Sarah McLachlan.
That's what I meant. Oh, very close. Sure it wasn't Lillian Vernon?
It's the worst. You've been bathtubbed.
Imagine a bunch of stupid idiots up on the roof and some terrified pedestrians walking by narrowly being killed.
They'd be taken to the hospital. Shards of bathtub would spray out.
No, you miss them. You miss them. You just scare them. You've been bathtubbed.
Yeah, I'm going to guess those idiots don't know how to like aim it properly just to miss them, quote unquote.
Question two.
What video game hero must unseat King K. Rool in a 3D update of a Nintendo classic?
Mario?
No. Donkey
Zelda?
Kong.
Oh, okay.
Get out of here with those guesses.
Question three.
So stupid. Okay. Who pulled skateboarding's first 900 in 1999, considered the greatest moment in alternative sports history?
Tony Hawk.
Yes. Okay. I only would include question skateboarding four. Question if it was the answer is Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
Because I don't know any other skateboarders.
Tony Alva.
I don't know that Tony.
He predates Tony Hawk.
Never heard of him, so he does not.
Okay.
Question four.
All right, let me go with something harder for you. Save the easy ones. What pop saxophonist played a continuous E flat for a record of 46 minutes in 1997?
Lillian Vernon.
Just literally leave.
Literally leave?
Literally.
You know what would happen if I literally left?
What?
You would be here by yourself.
I know, so start getting these rights. I'm not here by myself.
Kenny G.
Yes!
Okay.
Question five.
You won.
Oh, I won?
You got
okay,
three.
Good. Okay. By the way, a couple of text messages. It says at KWB1 about the Monday morning dance party. Favorite mix so far, Teresa from Eden Prairie. Thank you, Teresa. That, same with mine. I totally love that one. We have somebody on the phone here who's ready to play. From Wanamingo, it's Megan. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning.
What is Wanamingo famous for?
I would have to say our old governor named his dog Mingo. Mm-hmm. So that's probably it.
That's it. That's the best story to come out of Wanamingo then, huh?
Yep.
You've been bathtubbed. Okay.
And I do have to say we have the awesome Area 57. So if you're ever in Wanamingo, head up Area 57.
Wait,
what does that mean?
Stop the presses. What's Area 57?
It's a restaurant.
Oh. I thought it was like a place where people spotted aliens.
Yeah, I thought
cool.
so too.
No.
All
right. No, okay. Nothing like that.
Megan, well, the way the game works, here's the ground rules. We get questions for you. You get three right. Do you win? You can then keep or forward the change jar. $2.50. We'll start off with the first question. We call it...
Question one.
What trendy Sex and the City drink is made with cranberry juice, lime juice, and vodka?
Cosmo?
Yes.
You had me worried.
Question two.
What girl power group became the first British pop stars since the Beatles to be placed in a Madame Tussauds wax museum?
That would be the Spice Girls.
Yes.
Oh, very good.
Question three.
For the win.
What famous sheep gave birth the old-fashioned way to a lamb named Bonnie?
What?
Is it Dorothy?
Oh, you're so close. You're so close, Dolly.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Question four.
That's right. You get two more chances.
Who became the first 52-year-old woman to land a single atop the pop charts with the song Believe?
I believe in life after love.
I can hear something inside me say, I really don't think you're strong enough.
No,
I don't
believe in life after. Come on, okay, that's okay, Megan. You have one more chance.
Question five.
Okay,
we talked about this movie this morning. There was an alternate ending they did not go with.
Titanic.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't have to read the question.
I love it.
Oh, so stressed for you.
Hey,
okay,
Megan, you're a winner.
Thank you.
Keep or forward?
I will forward it to tomorrow's winner.
Selfless. So selfless. Selfless is what you are, Megan. That's why you're loved by so many near and far. Hold on 1 second. Okay. I'm going to play that Titanic clip for you because it's actually pretty cool. I'd never heard this before. So basically, this was a video that people knew about years ago, but I just heard about it for the first time. There was an alternate ending to Titanic. Spoiler alert, at the end, the old lady, Rose, 88 or 98 years old now, she takes the Heart of the Ocean stone, mm-hmm. throws it over the side of the ship.
Yeah.
But nobody knows that she ever had it.
Yeah.
In the alternate ending, they all find her on the deck of the boat and she's about to throw it over the side. And Bill Paxton is trying to talk her out of it. So here is the actual audio of the alternate ending. And they all said, thank God that's not what we went with.
Never! Please don't!
Don't come any closer. I'll drop it.
You had it the entire time?
The hardest part about being so poor was being so rich.
Please. Think about this for a second.
Oh, I've thought about this for years. And I've come all the way here to put it back where it belongs. You look for treasure in the wrong place, Mr. Lovett. Only life is priceless. And making each day count.
Jesus, no! That really sucks, lady!
Now, that was one of the crew members yelling from the background. That really sucks, lady!
And that's Bill Paxton laughing maniacally. This is all we've been doing is looking for this. It's so hilarious. You just threw it in the ocean.
It's so funny, though, that they had alternate endings because you tend to think of like, well, there was, of course, no alternate ending. That's the way it ended.
Yeah.
But I wonder whose decision it was, whether James Cameron or the production company or who got the choice.
I would guess James Cameron. He's a pretty smart filmmaker. Fun fact, also, when I was posting that up at DaveRyanShow.com, I read in the same article, Matthew McConaughey auditioned for the role of Jack, and he thought he did pretty good. And then there were always reports that he turned the part down. No, he just didn't get the part.
That movie was perfect. I mean, it really was. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's silly now, and it didn't age very well.
I think it aged okay.
It aged okay. But I still would watch it when it came on. Here is what, I was such a sucker for anything Titanic that I bought a replica of the Heart of the Ocean for about $88. And I'm like, I don't know what I thought I was going to do with it.
I don't know.
And I saved it. Of course, it went into a drawer untouched for years. Then maybe 10 years ago, I found it and I sold it happily on eBay for like $15. I'm like, get rid of it.
That is so strange. Like you weren't giving it to a woman in your life. You just kept it in its box somewhere.
Yep. Can't explain it.
No.
So over the weekend, you probably heard the story. I just want to ask you a question about the airplane over Denver. It took off. It was like a modern airplane, a 767. Engine on the left wing, engine on the right wing. The right engine blows up a couple of minutes after takeoff. They returned safely and they landed. But you saw the video, and the video was all over the, you know, like every platform of the engine basically kind of flaming out. The cover is off the engine. Part of the cover landed on somebody's lawn. How big is it? It's the size of a big kiddie pool. Huge.
Yeah.
You could stand up inside of it. And so this is the mayday call from the pilots back to the tower.
Fortunately,
that is not it. Let me find it for you. Here we go.
Mayday, mayday, United 328 heavy, mayday, mayday aircraft. United Denver departure, United 328 heavy, mayday aircraft. Just experienced a engine failure, need a turn immediately.
There's a big boom, the kind of sound you don't want to hear when you're on an airplane. And I instantly put my shade up, and I was pretty frightened to see that the engine on my side was missing.
My wife and I were sitting inside the house. We heard this big bang, and then all of a sudden there was a bang and a crash. This object just rolls right in front of our house, right out the front window, trying to figure out what it is. And as soon as I open the door, I go, uh-oh, it's an engine part.
They say that it's testament to how, you know, pilots are so well trained. And planes like that can fly on one engine.
Yeah.
And the pilots leapt into action and then flew the airplane. That's what they tell you. When there's any kind of emergency like that, number one rule is to fly the airplane. Don't get distracted by trying to figure it out right away. Keep flying the airplane.
Yeah.
So, and they did, and they landed, and everybody was safe, which not a miracle, but it's still pretty impressive.
Probably felt like it to the people there. Someone texted us earlier and said they knew someone on it, but they're happily on their vacation in Hawaii right now. So I guess they got back on a plane and went to Hawaii still. That might have rattled me enough to be like, we're canceling this vacation.
No, I get that. I'd be the opposite. I'd be like, nothing's going to happen to us bad ever again on a flight. There's no way we're ever going to have to worry on a flight ever again. Glad it all worked out that way. Coming up on KWB, if you had a story about a scary flight that you were on, maybe you've got a story about a scary flight. And obviously it ended okay because here you are. Mm-hmm. But if you got a story about a scary flight that you were on, maybe not because of a mechanical problem, but because there was a bunch of drunken soccer players. Soccer players are so unruly. I picked a random sport.
You did.
Let's go polo. A bunch of drunken polo players.
Never seen that in my life.
Okay, well, you know, you never know.
You know.
So let me know the scariest flight you were on. Send me a text at KWB153921. We were talking about this flight over Colorado, and my God, you realize that the engine blew up in probably the best place. If an engine's going to blow up right over the airport, they landed, they're fine. Somebody said, what about if they were over the ocean? What if they're halfway between? What would they have done? They could have flown, but what if the other engine would have, it was still burning? I don't know.
Okay.
So thank God it all worked out the way it did. So I said, let's talk about the craziest, scariest flight you had. And maybe it was mechanical failure. Maybe it was some kind of a weird weather situation. Maybe there was a big bang. Maybe you hit a bird. Or maybe it was just a bunch of drunk passengers that started getting crazy. So, Joe, what happened on your story, Joe?
So this was about 13, 14 years ago on a high school trip to New York City. We left Minneapolis, and about 20 minutes into the flight, I was assigned into the emergency row. And a flight attendant came up to me and he said, we need you to move. We need one of your chaperones, an adult, to be in that seat. And I said, why? And he said, there's a problem with the plane and we may need to use these doors. That got me out of my seat really fast.
Yep.
I'm out. That's cool. And that's all we knew. Like, no one told us what was going on or anything. So I got out, and the whole time, again, we didn't know what was going on. The pilot told us we were going back to Minneapolis. And in the meantime, flight attendants were, they had tears in their eyes. A couple of them were in the back doing the Hail Mary prayer, which is never a good sign,
no,
in my opinion. I don't know if that's protocol or professional or not, but again, it was pretty severe.
Did you ever find out, Joe, I don't want to interrupt you. Did you ever find out what the problem was?
We did. So one of the engines malfunctioned and stopped working, which is fine. A plane can fly on, the other engines, but the issue was they didn't think that we could stop because you have to reverse all the
reverse thrust
to slow down and stop a plane.
Yeah.
So we knew we couldn't make it to New York, and they were hoping to God that we would stop before we ran into another plane or the airport at Minneapolis. So,
oh my God!
Because once they land, they have to turn on the reverse thrusters. That's
right.
That big noise.
So when we landed, we all thought we were fine, but the flight attendants looked at us and like shook their heads, like, no, this is it. Like, this is the part that they didn't know about. So pretty terrifying. Emergency vehicles all over the place. And again, we had no idea that it was even for us.
Do they give you like a complimentary gift card or miles
extra,
or anything?
I mean,
I'm not trying to be silly, but do they?
No, we got a $100 voucher toward our next flight, which I will never go on again, but because I have a fear of flying now. So.
Don't blame you. You know, it's bad when the flight attendants, because they're trained to act like everything's fine. So when they get panicky, that's when I panic. And we got a bunch of these on the phone here. I'm surprised how many of the bad flights there were. Hey, Andrea, down in Richfield, what happened on your flight from hell?
So this is actually a couple months ago, COVID-related, when at this point masks were required, and there was a Karen sitting in the aisle across from me, and she's that person who keeps her mask below her nose.
Yep.
The flight attendant had to talk to her several times. But every time the flight attendants would come by, she'd pull her mask up and then they'd walk away and she'd pull her mask down like a 5-year-old.
But then, of course.
So she can't wear her mask right. Whatever. It's required. Do it. So then at the end of the flight, you know, everyone, pre-COVID, this is okay, but everyone pops up and crowds in the aisle, right? Well, now she's like basically hip to hip with me, and I said to her, because she's still not wearing her mask right, I said, hey, I have people in my life who are immunocompromised. Like, you're not going to wear your mask correctly. Like, please don't stand so close to me. So in true Karen fashion, she pulls her mask all the way down to basically her chest and gets nose to nose with me, literally, like, in my face. And it says, is this far enough away? Is this far enough away?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Took all of my restrictions.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wow. I admire you for not, like, responding somehow. Yikes. Yep. Thank you. Let's go to Deb in Minneapolis. So you're flying to Miami. Everything's good. And then all of a sudden it's not. Hi, Deb.
Hi.
What happened?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. You're fine. Yep.
All right. I was flying to Minneapolis about 5 years ago. Or sorry, I was flying to Miami from Minneapolis 5 years ago. And we were getting closer to Miami and we felt a little turbulence and we didn't think anything of it. And whenever you feel turbulence in a flight, you want to just pretend you're cool about it.
Yep.
I'm like, no, I've done this before. I'm good. But it just kept getting worse and worse. And I think everyone started looking around and just wondering if it was time to panic. And then when people started crying, we all knew, okay, this is crazy. So the flight attendants are telling us all to calm down. And as we're doing it, it's getting worse and worse. And all of a sudden, water started pouring down on our heads. We had no idea what was going on and where it was coming from. Everyone's crying. The flight attendants are trying to make their way back to their seats to buckle up as well while telling us to calm down. And when that happened, it got really bad. And all of a sudden, the flight attendants all hit the ceiling.
Oh.
It dropped so fast.
Oh, my God.
And they were, like, on the floor. Everyone was trying to tend to them, also trying not to freak out. I definitely thought I was going to die. I had a newborn baby and a 5-year-old at the time, and I was just like, okay, I'm never going to see my kids again.
That is so scary.
At the end, when we landed, we finally landed in Miami. Everyone was so shell-shocked. Like, we didn't know what to say. An ambulance had to come to the plane first and help the flight attendants off before we did anything. But I was like, okay, turbulence is not just a little thing.
Well, most turbulence is like moderate, like, or light, but then there's severe turbulence where the plane drops like, you know, thousands or hundreds of feet all of a sudden, and that's what you guys had.
That's so scary.
Deb, thanks for the call. Tyler in Blaine. Tyler, we're talking about horrible flights, just kind of inspired by, if you want to say that, the flight in Denver over the weekend. Tyler, what was your story?
Yeah, so it happened to my dad and I several years ago. We were down visiting my grandparents in Panama City, and for years we'd go down to visit, and their neighbor was a pilot, like a little prop plane, you know, 1-2-seater thing. And for years, he'd be like, you got to come up with me. And so finally, the one time we went down and he's like, hey, at the end of the week, I'll take you up in my plane. Really looking forward to it. And for whatever reason, last minute, I don't remember why, but we didn't end up going. And he ended up crashing and he's been paralyzed ever since.
Oh, my God.
And they said if we would have been in the plane, that added weight could have killed everybody.
Did they ever have any idea why he crashed?
I don't remember. I was in high school. I don't remember the details of it, but it freaked me out that I could have lost my dad that day, you know?
God, no kidding. That is so scary. Tyler, thanks for the story. Last one, Emily in Minneapolis. What happened on the airplane? It wasn't a mechanical problem. What happened?
No, good morning.
Morning.
So I was on a flight with my boyfriend back 2 years ago from New York back home to Minneapolis. And there was a colorful young 20-year-old guy who sat next to us. My boyfriend was in the window seat. I was in the aisle, in the middle seat, and he sat down in the aisle. The plane takes off, and he's a chatty guy, and he orders, like, little mini bottles of alcohol and downs them. And then about, like, 30 minutes into the flight, he reaches down for his backpack and pulls out this little baggie with a white powdery substance in it.
No.
And I'm looking in the corner of my eye, and he casually just puts a little pile on his iPhone, got out a credit card, and starts snorting and doing lines. And
wow.
And so I'm kind of nudging my boyfriend and kind of, like, giggling, and he's like, oh, my God. Well, he gets up, goes to the bathroom. We're in the back of the plane, and he's kind of standing there waiting his turn for the bathroom, making weird. He's kind of, like, banging his head on the side of the door. So he was scribbling something on a magazine before he got up to leave for the bathroom, and I was nosing. I looked at it, and it was all these weird drawings, and he said, people making fun of me to the next to me, I got a Glock in my bag. Well, before I showed my boyfriend this, before he was back in the bathroom, he brought it up to the flight attendant and showed him. The rest of the, he came back, he was acting kind of weird, put headphones on. The rest of the flight was fine, but as we were getting up to exit the plane and he's trying to be all nice and chummy to the flight attendants and saying bye to everyone, the flight attendant, after he passes and exits the plane, points to him and says, mouth to the pilot, it's him. And there was security with dogs that escorted him out of the plane.
Yeah, you can't make little threats like that.
No.
So the guy ended up getting arrested then, right?
Yeah, we had to be interviewed by police and stuff. And oh, it was gosh. Just, I, you know, you want a relaxing flight.
God, no kidding.
You know, these are making me feel a lot more grateful for the time. They took like an extra hour and a half to defrost the plane.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I shouldn't complain over that.
I'm going to give you one piece of wisdom that will make you feel better next time your plane is delayed. It's better to be down here wishing you were up there than to be up there wishing you were down here. So in other words, if they're like, oh, we got to check a mechanical thing, a light won't go off. And you're like, bah, son of a bee, I'll never fly this airline again. It's better to be on the ground wishing you were up there than to be on the ground like the passengers in Denver wishing you were down here.
Brought to you by Arthur's Jewelers.
Is your to-do list so big that you don't know where to start? Literally, sometimes I get that way, especially on a Sunday. Sunday's a busy day for me.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get Sundays off. We basically work all day Sunday on stuff that's coming up this week. And sometimes I'm like, okay, I got to do the podcast. I got to post my Weekend in 5 pictures. And I got to do this. I got to do this. Blah, 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 blah. And sometimes I don't know where to start. So I pull out my phone, start playing on my phone.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what to do.
Kill time.
So here's the 2-minute rule. If you have something to do that's only going to take you 2 minutes, do that first.
Okay.
Then go on to things that might take 5 minutes, and they say you'll be surprised at how quickly you'll tick those to-do items off your list. So what's something that takes 2 minutes?
Changing
the light bulb. Okay.
That's been out and you've been putting it off.
Put the dishes in the dishwasher. Let's say you got a sink full of dirty dishes. It'll take you a few minutes, 2 minutes-ish. Don't get too technical on the timing to put them in the dishwasher. Feed your dog. That'll take 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Take your dog for a walk takes longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
So checking your email, 5 minutes, 10, it depends. So put everything that, if it's 2 minutes, do it now.
I have a next Friday, I'm giving a 10-minute speech, and I am putting it off like it's my job.
How long is your speech?
10 minutes.
Okay, what are you putting off about it? Preparing for it?
Preparing for it. I had, like, initially when I agreed to do it, I wrote down, like, 4 bullet points of, for my mind, thought starters. And then since that last night, I looked at Jake, I go, will you write that for me? He goes, I don't feel like I should be writing a speech for you for International Women's Day. I was like, you might be on to something.
Yeah.
And because I don't do speeches, so I'm stressed about it. But I talked to this girl who does do speeches, and she said that she'll talk to a friend about the topic, and she records the phone conversation because a lot of times she can pull really great stuff from the conversation she had with a friend about it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I was like, oh, that is a good idea.
Practice it.
Yeah.
Because I know you don't want to, but you got to practice it.
Of course I'm going to.
Because if you don't practice, then you'll be more nervous.
Yeah, I'm not going to go and not practice. I'm not.
When are you going to start working on this speech?
I don't know. Maybe. Well, I mean, at least by this weekend. I'm going to give myself a full week on it.
When is the speech?
Friday.
Okay, so you give yourself a week. Okay. I would say start working on it sooner rather than later. And then I tell anybody who's making a speech, get all your stuff down to one index card. If you can't do any length of speech from one index card, you haven't practiced it enough.
Yeah.
So
I feel confident in filling 10 minutes.
Whether it's interesting.
I know, that's the point. I want it, like, I said,
what was I going
to
say?
The gal I was talking to, I was like, I don't want it to be like a lot of speeches you hear that I feel like are like, you don't take away anything other than generic quotes. You know what I mean? Like, I want something more to come from it for someone, but also maybe that's just all I'm going to give.
Here's another tip for you.
Yeah.
Time it, because you will think, we saw this in Toastmasters, the speaking club, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody wouldn't practice, they wouldn't time their speech, and they would limit you. Your speech has got to be between 5 and 7 minutes. Somebody would get up and speak for 18 minutes because it goes so fast.
They didn't cut them off?
No, we never cut them off, but we'd like, you know, tell them, you didn't time your speech, and they'd be like, no, I didn't at all. Time your speech, because you have an unwritten bargain agreement with your audience, and that is you're going to speak for a time until they well before they get bored. If you speak too long and they get bored, that's on you.
Yeah, I'm going to ask if I can go first as well.
Okay.
Because I want the and then just sit back and relax and watch the other two, like, probably actually talented
women do their speeches
and enjoy it.
See, you and I have the advantage of, like, we're a novelty if we show up.
Yeah.
You know, like some guy who works over at Anderson Windows, that's cool. He probably knows way more than any of us do, but nobody's going to be like, oh, yeah, Ted Smith from Anderson Windows is going to be there. But if they're like, Fallon Bonsett's going to be on, it's like, oh, you could go on and make duck faces and, like, snort laugh, and they'd be like, it was actually pretty good.
I don't know. Maybe you should try that. Those are two of my specialties.
All right, coming up on KWB. Oh, I got one more for you. This is a school board resigned because they're caught making fun of fed-up patients. Now, in California, as in a lot of states, they're really, like, big arguments about whether kids should be back in school, and there's a lot of parents who are mad, and then there's the politicians who are like, no, don't put them back in school, vaccinate, blah, blah, blah. So the entire school board had to resign.
Are we alone?
Yeah.
If you're going to call me out, I'm going to f*** you up. Sorry, that's just me.
They want to pick on us because they want their babysitters back.
Right.
Right.
Uh-oh. Laura Lanier, just FYI, you guys have the meeting. Oh. We have the meeting open to the public right now.
Nuh-uh.
That's what Laura just said.
Great.
Oh, man, their meeting was open to the public and people heard them.
Not good.
Oh, that'd be like if you and I were talking crap about somebody that works here and the mic was on. Oh, Jenny would know everything we think about her. Oh, God.
I think Jenny's really talented.
And
beautiful and a great friend.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're coming up on Dave's Dirt. We got some updates for you on Dave's Dirt, but also this is really important.
Yeah, this year, International Women's Day is honoring our female frontline workers. They've obviously, I can't talk. You're going to have to do it.
I'll be happy to get a little
sorry, I got some in my throat. Yeah.
This year, we're honoring female frontline workers. They've been the backbone of helping us get through the pandemic. They're the personal care aides and the doctors and the housekeepers and the cooks and the teachers and the food pantry directors and the nurses and grocery store workers and more. And I get it. Men have done that, too. I totally get it. It's International Women's Day. So that's why we're doing nominate a woman who's a frontline worker. And it's up to you. We're not going to say, wait a second, we have strict criteria for frontline workers. If you decide they're a frontline worker, that works for me. Go to KWB.com, keyword women, nominate her. There's a couple of things you got to fill out. And it even asks for a picture of her. And the reason we ask for a picture is because we want to be able to recognize her and put her picture up on the website. Probably get her permission before you do that, if possible. She could get a $100 gift card and be highlighted on March 8th, International Women's Day. We have a sponsor this year. Shout out to Maker's Mark for getting behind this. We really appreciate you, Maker's Mark, for getting behind this. I say give each woman a crate of Maker's Mark. They didn't go for that, but I still think it's a good idea. Anyway, go online, kdwb.com, keyword women. On Saturday Night Live, it's KWB. Alexa, listen to KWB on iHeartRadio. Saturday Night Live, I didn't see it, but I've watched the clip. So it's a bunch of like Jersey bros hanging out in a pool hall, blue collar guys drinking beer, shooting pool. They're all kind of bad A kind of guys. And then one of the guys puts Olivia Rodrigo driver's license on the jukebox. And here is what happens next.
Wait, what am I listening to?
Driver's License by Olivia Rodrigo, man.
Sounds like it's just some teen girl singing in a room to a piano.
And that's the beauty of it. You got a problem?
What's this?
song, like, even about, even?
Yes, it's about a girl getting her driver's license, but it's bittersweet because it's something she and her ex always talked about. That's what I guess, based on hearing it for the first time right now.
Sure. I mean, if you want to get all literal, but I mean, I think I overheard on the news or something that it's actually about the kids from High School Musical. I don't know.
Vanessa Hudgens, Zac Efron, Sharpay, that whole crew.
No, man, High School Musical, the series. Olivia wrote about Joshua Bassett, who's allegedly now with Sabrina Carpenter. Listen, man.
So they're all singing along, getting teary-eyed.
Yep.
Oh, it's so funny. I put that on Twitter. If you want to follow me on Twitter, at Dave Ryan, KDWB, if you want to go check that out. And now, The Dirt.
The latest in entertainment, lifestyle, and flat-out gossip. Dave's Dirt on 101.3 KDWB.
All right, let's see what's going on. What, Fallon?
I'm going to mention, along with that, the boy that the song is about created a TikTok where it shows a friend texting, hey, you were on SNL last night, and him excitedly running to the computer, then watching it, and then being sad.
Oh, whoops.
And also, I've read that SNL is having a really hard time getting people to do their show.
Why?
It's not as good as it used to be or something, so they're having a hard time finding people who want to be on the show.
I don't think that. Well, I don't watch it anymore just because they were getting too political, and I just didn't want to watch it, but when they're good like that, mm-hmm. I think they're still good. One of the guys on Weekend Update, not Colin Jost, but the other
Michael
guy.
Michael Che.
He got in trouble because he made a joke that I'm not going to repeat over the weekend that people thought it was anti-Semitic.
Oh.
And so he is getting dragged for that one. And you got to figure it out yourself. I'm not going to tell you, rightfully so, or it's not. I'm not going to tell you that.
You go
do your research and figure out what you think. But they say that Saturday Night Live has a history of being like anti-Semitic anti-transgender. Everybody's anxious to get vaccinated except your Uncle Pete, who is sure that it's full of metals and tracers. But mm-hmm. with so many people who are eligible struggling to get an appointment, seeing celebrities post selfies celebrating getting their vaccines when healthcare workers and the elderly are still in waiting basically makes you mad. So recently, Amanda Kloots, I don't know who that is, posted a selfie to social media celebrating getting a vaccine, was promptly shamed by fans. Mm-hmm. And followers for what they assume was her skipping the line. Are you seeing that too, like Kim Kardashian or anybody like that skipping the line and getting a vaccine?
No, I haven't seen that. She is the one that lost her husband to COVID.
Yeah.
And they have a small son together named Elvis. She's now, since all of that, so she was a dancer. Since all of that, she is on The Talk or The Real or one of those.
Okay, yep.
Shows. So I don't know if it's one of those things where everyone on those talk shows, like if they're working, they're in line. But yeah, she's younger. A lot of people were defending her, saying, yeah, she's a single mom now, so she probably does want to get the vaccine early and not risk her kid having zero parents. So I've seen both.
You know what? I can understand that. That will not remove the people that say that it's not fair, but I can absolutely. It's kind of like when Pink. This is back in days of testing. Mm-hmm. Remember, Pink got tested like 4 times in a month or something.
For her kid.
And people were like, how dare you use the power of your wealth and your celebrity to get in front of everybody else? And she said, hey, you would do it if you could do it too, which is probably true.
For your kid, for her kid. That was
it just for her kid or was it for her too?
Well, they both had it, but I think that she, at that time, people weren't even sure how it affected kids. And she was basically, if you had a chance to test this for your kid, you absolutely would too, which is true.
Which is true. But the problem is celebrities become so hypocritical because they will absolutely tell you what they think pop culture wants them to say at the moment
mm-hmm.
to fit in with whatever they're trying to fit in with. And then they'll turn around and do whatever suits them the most. Not Tom Hanks, though, and not Oprah. They always do the right thing.
Yeah, basically.
You never hear anything bad about them.
Basically.
Okay? However, Lori Loughlin, totally different story. Is marriage success in your DNA? A new study from the University of Arkansas found that the key to a happy marriage might be determined by your genes. Specifically, there's a gene variation, one that relates to traits such as bonding and gratitude, that might affect how successful your relationship is. So, if you don't have the gene for bonding and gratitude, that is not your fault. It's your DNA. So there's something else that you can blame something else on rather than your own behavior. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can blame it on your DNA.
And
why am I so selfish? Why am I so thoughtless? It's in my DNA. I can't help it.
there you go. Now I know. So I just blame my mom for one more thing. She's exactly. Like, oh, okay.
It's Debbie's fault.
Kim Kardashian filed for divorce from Kanye West. That came out on Friday. We knew it was coming, but she has officially filed. They're saying that he's kind of assuming the final straw was when he ran for presidency. He held that big campaign rally in South Carolina where he revealed really intimate details about their first pregnancy and all kinds of things. And they're saying that even though he was fine with it ending, he's now in that second thoughts phase where he's like, if only I'd done this, if only I had done that. I would be afraid to get divorced from Kanye West. I would just be like, what is he going to say about me in a year?
Because he's a loose cannon, right?
Yeah, he's going to say, yeah. Together, and you would hope that he would be respectful. He wasn't respectful when they were together concerning his kids. So, anyway.
Okay, we're going to do our salute to a black artist for Black History Month today by the suggestion of Fallon Bonsett, Otis Redding.
Sitting in the morning sun.
There's so much to say about him. Like, so many of these artists, I start looking, it's like, on the surface, it's like, oh, well, he was a singer-songwriter, and he was legendary, and he died young in a plane crash in Wisconsin. He was on his way to a concert in Madison. There's so much more to him. He was in talent shows when he was a kid. He won 15 weeks in a row, won $5 for a radio station talent contest 15 weeks in a row. His big breakthrough, remember, he wrote songs and had an amazing voice that influenced people like Rod Stewart and some other ones, too. He was driving a friend to the recording studio because his friend didn't have a driver's license. So Otis Redding tags along, and he's watching, like, you know, just curious. And they had some time left over, so Otis Redding's like, hey, can I sing a couple of songs? The owner of the recording studio hears him. He's like, dang,
yeah,
you're really good. And he signed him to a contract.
Crazy.
So here is where he was really innovative and took a big chance. Now, most of his fans were African Americans, but he wanted to expand and get white kids to listen too. So he went to the world famous Whiskey A Go Go on the Sunset Strip,
okay,
which is where everybody from the Doors to Led Zeppelin to Van Halen got their start, and he played out there. He was one of the first soul artists to perform for rock audiences in the West, in the United States. And even Bob Dylan showed up to one of his shows and was like, damn, kid,
yeah,
you're good. So it made him he had a lot of money, and he had a ranch called the Big O Ranch that he liked to spend a lot of time on. And he also made money in publishing ventures and royalties. So he was a really good businessman as well. And in 1 year, he sold more records than Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin combined. His name is Otis Redding, and he is our spotlight artist on Black History Month for today. We've only got a few more days left. And I'm, like, struggling to be like, oh, well, I got to do her. Oh, I got to do her.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to do Lionel Richie. Well, wait, well, Lionel Richie's not. Well, okay, so I don't know who I'm going to come up with tomorrow.
Good luck.
We'll see. Hey, I want to give you the keyword to text in this hour. The keyword is love. Text in love to 200-200. The contest is done at the end of this week, so you're going to miss out on it. So whether you got bills to pay, whether you got a vacation you're going to pay for, maybe your dog had a little emergency vet thing because they swallowed a... They swallowed a wallet. Your dog swallowed a wallet. I know that's how about a golf ball? Your dog swallowed a golf ball. Dogs will swallow anything. She ate the remote. Text that word love to 200-200. Standard data message rates. It's a nationwide contest. Then watch for your phone to ring later from a number that you normally wouldn't answer. That's probably us.
Just so you know, too soon on the remote comment. We're so cheap, we won't buy a new remote that Dolly chewed up. That every time we pick it up, there's no back to it. We have scotch tape over it, so the batteries just fall out. It is the most embarrassing remote
of
all
time. You are trash. You are
filth.
And then
all the rest of it that is intact has like the sharp
teeth marks. It did look delicious to Dolly.
It was white. It looked like a bone. If you hate your job enough that you go this far to miss it for just one day, I'd say you're way past the point of needing to quit. There's a 19-year-old named Brandon in Arizona. And earlier this month, the police found him near a water tower with his hands tied behind his back and a bandana stuffed in his mouth. He told cops he'd been kidnapped by two men in masks who knocked him out, drove him around, then dumped him by the water tower. Police investigated, and they couldn't find any evidence he'd been kidnapped. Surveillance videos didn't back up his story, and there were some inconsistencies in it, too. So on Wednesday, Brandon was arrested for making a false report. He wound up admitting he'd made up the entire thing, so he could get out of his job at a tire shop for the day. after he was arrested, they did fire him. So maybe this like big picture is that it did work out okay for him in the end.
Yeah.
Maybe not. And there is there are ways people smuggle drugs in. Like usually they place them in a portion of their body.
You put it in your booty.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
But customs officials in the port of Cincinnati stopped a large shipment of cereal from South America last week that was eventually going to Hong Kong. When they opened the box, they found the corn flakes were frosted with cocaine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they said the street value of the cocaine on all the corn flakes was more than $2.8 million. There's no word on whether they've tracked down the people who sent the shipment or the ones who are supposed to receive it. I don't know enough about drugs, but my question is, like, how do you actually get the cocaine off of something like that?
That's a good question,
like,
Fallon. Maybe I don't know. There's gotta be a process.
Is there one person just sitting there with like a little razor blade and they scrape it off?
I kind of doubt that's true. My question about that story is Port of Cincinnati.
Didn't know it was a thing.
Port of Cincinnati, Ohio.
It doesn't say. I assume, but I don't know.
Because if it's coming from South America and it's on its way to where? Hong Kong?
It could be.
Nah,
but it probably wouldn't be.
I don't think so. It's got to be like Cincinnati, Peru or something like that.
Yeah, I'm on Google Cincinnati, Peru.
Let me know what you come up
with. It's the capital, Dave.
Wow. I'd be curious to find out myself.
Oh, my God. They have a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame there. Cool.
That's in Cleveland, you amateur.
Not in Peru, idiot.
Dave's Dirt coming up next.
It's Dave's Dirt on 101.3 KDWB.
Hey, speaking of Billie Eilish, she's got that new documentary thing. It is called Billie Eilish, The World's a Little Blurry. It comes out February 26th. So keep listening to KDWB. We're giving these away. It's like, how do you give away a documentary? It's not a DVD. It's like the code to watch it on your smart device on Apple TV Plus. So it comes out, and we know some people who've got a sneak of it, and they say it's really, really good. I got to start training for the Shamrock and Mini because it comes up like it's a month away. Well, I mean, I have. But that's a 7 miler, and I've only run 5 miles, so I think I can tack on an extra two.
That's easy. It's easy for you.
Easy for me, a world class athlete.
Yeah, for me, I wouldn't make it 1 mile in. I'd be like, nope, just here. Can I just make a donation?
You can sign up online, kdwb.com. Keyword event is going to be March 20th, so less than a month away if you're training. Boom Island, sponsored by our friends at Summit Brewing Company, and I'm hoping that if I plug Summit enough, they're going to mail me a gift card. This strategy never works. I've tried it with Papa Murphy's. I've tried it with Arby's. I've tried it with Midas Muffler. I've tried it with Jiffy Lube. I figure, well, I plug Jiffy Lube enough on the radio, I'll get a gift card in the mail. This is the worst strategy ever. You know how I'm going to have to get a gift card over at Jiffy Lube?
What?
Go work at Jiffy Lube.
God. Why don't you just pay for an oil change or some curly fries? God.
Have you seen... I think you can't order it off the main menu, but it's an Arby's sandwich that's got every one of their kind of meats on it.
No.
Have you seen this? Look it up.
What do they call it, the thick boy?
I don't think it's called the thick boy, but it's about 8 or 10 inches tall.
I don't want to look at it because honestly, that much meat is just gross to me. I don't want to see that
You
much.
Talk for a minute, then I'm going to go look it up. Can you
that's
stall
fine.
For a minute?
Yeah, please okay. Google the
giant
thick boy.
Giant Arby's sandwich. Hold on. It's not called the thick boy,
well, it
you
should
idiot.
Be. They should, you know what? Marketing teams across the Twin Cities reach out to me because I am great with things like that. Kim Kardashian's filed for divorce from Kanye West. We knew it was coming, but it's official now. Seems that they've agreed on pretty much things like Kim having primary physical custody of the kids, but obviously he gets visitations and time with them for sure. He thinks the nail in the coffin was when he did the South Carolina campaign, and he blurted out a lot of intimate details about their first pregnancy, and then he went on that tweeting spree where he compared Kris Jenner to Kim Jong-un, accused Kim of cheating with Meek Mill because
did
they,
she cheat with Meek Mill?
No, they met up in a public setting to discuss prison reform, and that's it. I mean, of course, I guess I'll never know. I don't know what she does, but I that was not what I gathered. And so there's that. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, they've officially been stripped of their royal duties. They can keep the names the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, but like all of Harry's military titles, those are gone. They've already recorded their episode with Oprah, but they may reshoot it now that Queen Elizabeth stripped Harry of his honorary military titles. I'll watch it because I love watching stuff like that.
I know you do.
Let's see. Nick Jonas is set to host and be the musical performer this weekend on SNL, where he'll debut a new solo song called Spaceman. And This was interesting. DaBaby dissed JoJo Siwa.
I want to hear about this. What happened?
Well, he dissed her in his new song, and I don't know anything about the song, but it did not go well. Everyone on Twitter turned on him, so now he's paying the consequences because JoJo Siwa has done nothing wrong. She is a delight. She's a positive ball of energy. And yes, if you're a parent, she probably is annoying, but she's like a good role model for kids, so who cares? And that's all I have to say about that.
Well, then you timed this really well because I just tweeted a picture of the Arby's meat mountain sandwich. I want you to go follow me on Twitter.
I will not follow you, but I'll look you up.
And see seriously?
All right, fine, I'll follow you.
Dave Ryan, KDWB. It is the meat mountain sandwich from Arby's.
Oh, that's now, not, I would eat that. That's
would you
not,
eat that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for the gram.
Okay. I'm going to read the description, and you can see it. Follow me on Twitter, Dave Ryan, KDWB. The biggest sandwich Arby's has ever sold, stacked ridiculously high with almost all the meats. Two chicken tenders, slices of roast turkey, pit smoked ham, corned beef, 13-hour smoked brisket, USDA choice Angus steak, roast beef, pepper bacon, also cheddar and Swiss cheese somewhere in there. Limited availability at participating locations. Now, the nutritional information.
What? I want to hear it, but should you and I see if they're available here, and should we have a competition of who can eat it the fastest?
I'm in. Seriously, I'm in.
Oh, God, we're going to have meat sweats.
I'm in. Would you do it? Jenny, you'd play too. Come on, Jenny. Don't be a
Jenny,
P
be
word.
A P. You're such a
Jenny, come on. You'd be my hero.
You
Tina
are.
Would. Tina's
you
a big
tacos.
Eater.
Jenny, get it together.
Jenny,
okay,
meat mountain sandwich.
You've been training this your whole life.
Listen, I love good meats, but like more sausage type of meats than like roast beef and stuff like that. I actually don't like roast beef at all.
Oh, here we go.
And I'm assuming there's ham and stuff on it.
There's all kinds of stuff on there, yeah. Tina. Is Tina here?
She has exited the premises. I don't know where she is.
All right. So here's what we want to do sometime this week. Fallon and I, after the show, will run across. There's an Arby's directly across the street.
We'll have to make sure it's sold there. Apparently, it's only sold to select ones.
You call them, Jenny. Call them over there and see if they... Jenny!
What's it called?
Call Arby's and Meat Mountain Sandwich.
Call them right now on the radio.
I'm going to call them on the radio.
You guys got that Meat Mountain Sandwich?
I'm trying to look at the calories
Arby's
on here. And I'm going to see if it's got...
This is literally the kind of challenge I'm looking for in my life.
I'm willing to... Facebook Live it for you guys.
I would totally
don't
do it.
Even.
I would. I said the taco competition I did with Dave, that was the end of me doing food eating competitions. I can't do it. I don't have the stomach for it.
You know, which surprises me because you could drink all of us under the table.
Absolutely. Like, let's do a shot competition. I'm in.
We'll work on that for later because now Fallon and I are actually excited about something. That's
I'm not
all I
even
need to do.
Anymore.
I just lost 30 pounds on Livia. All I need to do is enter a meat sandwich eating contest now.
Honestly,
are you
I
looking it up right now? You're so quiet.
I tried, but you're gonna beat me, and here's why. You're just like a faster eater. You like take the biggest bites of things.
Yeah, but I also will get full faster. That's a dumb thing to say.
If we were doing five sandwiches, that would be an issue. One sandwich is not going to be an issue for you.
Okay. If you want to start making excuses already, then why don't you just concede defeat? Tip over your queen. Tip over your queen and let's get this over with.
No.
Tip it over.
I'm going to tip you over, bitch.
Okay, that made even me laugh. That's the laugh of the day right there. That's the laugh of the day. I don't even know how to say to that one.
I don't either, honestly.
Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of quick little, just something to watch on Netflix. I found it this weekend, and it is called I Care a Lot, and it is a movie that is the best movie I've seen of the year. And the only thing I can tell you, I can't tell you too much about the plot, but here's kind of the gist of it. There's a woman who is evil and greedy and rich, and what she does is she takes senior citizens who have a lot of money, and she'll have them declared incompetent by the courts. Then she will put them into a nursing home, isolate them from their family so they can't ever talk to her about how they're fine. And then she'll take their money and sell their house and pay herself and get rich and pay the nursing home. And so she's doing this and it's going great. And she's got like 100 clients that she's getting rich off of until she messes with the wrong woman. And it's so good.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch it.
It's called I Care a Lot. It's a little bit longer. It's 2 hours long. Which
two hours?
It's worth. Fallon, God. Best movie I've seen of the year. Best movie you've seen.
It's on Netflix?
On the Netflix, yes.
Did you say this already, Dave? Didn't you say you discovered something different between all the streaming services?
Oh, thanks for bringing that up. So a friend of mine's like, I don't get what all the streaming services are. There's Roku, there's your Fire Stick, there's your Amazon Prime, there's your Hulu, there's your Netflix, Apple TV, Disney Plus. Which one should I get? What's the difference? I said, well, here's an analogy. You got to think of them as like stores, like Target and Best Buy and Fleet Farm and like Dick's. Some of them sell the same thing. Like Target might sell a TV and Best Buy might sell a TV. So they have some common ground. But Best Buy also sells refrigerators and stoves and microwave ovens. And Target might sell microwave ovens, but they definitely don't sell refrigerators and stoves. Mm-hmm. Then you go over to Dick's, you can get skis, which they don't sell at Best Buy or Target. They have those at Dick's, but you can get down coats and sweatpants at Dick's, which they have at Target, but not at Best Buy. So I said, think of it that way. Every platform has got some common ground with other stuff. Like Hulu has some stuff that's probably going to be on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
But not every platform has everything, and not everything is on every platform. So is that a good analogy? I mean, you already knew it. You already understood it, so I don't have to explain it to you.
No. But that person was probably like, thanks a lot for telling me what Dick sells. I was asking what Hulu has on it. Good God.
They actually understood what I was talking about.
Do you think that they wanted to just wrap up the conversation?
You should have stopped with, I'm going to tip you over, B-word.
I know. I got to go get a Meat Mountain.
Let's get a Meat Mountain. Can you call Arby's?
We'll call Arby's ourselves.
Yes.
We can call Arby's.
Don't disrespect Jenny.
Jenny doesn't want to call Arby's.
She's the producer of the show. Don't try to take her job. If this was a union shop, you'd be in big trouble with the union right now.
That's
I apologize
fine.
To Jen for Fallon trying to take your job.
I accept your apology, but Fallon, if you'd like to call Arby's, I wouldn't be opposed.
I'm calling the union. Calling the union. We need to unionize here so I don't have to do any work that's not mine.
Yeah, and you've got quite a few years on Fallon and I, so we're basically effed.
We're not going to get any vacation. We're going to be working weird shifts.
Yeah. Dave's going to be like, yeah, I'm going to do 1 to 2 p.m. today. Can you guys do the other 23 hours?
The other 23 hours? Dave formed a union. And he's the president of the union.
Oh, God.
Dave works on Friday from 1 until 4.
Why would you choose Friday? You're terrible with your own union.
Because nobody likes to work on a Monday. God, don't tell me how to run the union.
Okay, you're right.
All right, have a great day. We will see you tomorrow. Enjoy the heat wave of 41 degrees. I don't want to spoil it, Weather Girl Jenny. I don't want to take your job by doing the forecast. Because we're now a union shop. I've declared this a union shop.
I'm going out on my balcony today, and I'm going to just flash the cities. Because you know why?
What does that have to do with anything?
Warmth. I'm going to go out there and show them and not have to worry about getting a chill.
All right.
Oh, you're still gonna have a little chill.
Call Arby's. I'll send you a pic. Stop talking and call Arby's.
Yeah.
All right. Jenny, I'm dialing right
union
now.
Union shop. Hey, if you want to help me unionize, call me, and we'll see if we can work something out.
No, you can't do that.
Why can't I? How does it get started?
Oh, this is, you're going to learn the hard way.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what she's talking about.
You better.
I'll see you tomorrow.
This report is